The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
Right this way, folks. You're now entering the courtyard. This is where the final step in the bottling process happens, where we prepare all the corks for all the bottles of Brunello that you saw earlier.
This is PFW in Progress.
I've always actually wondered about that. How do you cork the bottles?
Excellent question, my Bella. As you can see, we are soaking all the corks in this room right now.
PFW in Progress.
These three guys right here are some of the most talented cork soakers. Say hello, you old cork soakers.
With Fred Kirsch.
I'm curious, how does one become a cork soaker?
As we are like to say, cork soakers are born, not made.
Paul Perillo.
Luigi here was simply born to soak cork. Come, Luigi.
I love soaking a cork. I could soak a cork all night long if they let me.
And Andy. And Andy?
Are all corks the same?
No. I like to soak the big, thick cork.
Andy Hart.
The great thing about the cork soaking is that while you are soaking the cork, you can also massage at the grapes.
Eric Scalavino, for now anyway.
Could you teach me how to soak cork?
You know, when you walked in here, I could have sworn you're already an expert cork soaker.
Thank you. I dabbled in college.
PFW in Progress.
Do you ever run out of corks to soak?
Oh, yeah, I'll never forget this one vintage was unusually large, and I thought Giuseppe would need the extra corks.
And I thought Marcello would need more corks.
So we soaked each other's corks at the same time.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Thursday, we're getting closer to the Colts, and Colts team that is not to be what?
Taken seriously.
The Colts suck.
I don't know. I mean, the Bill Belichick video from yesterday is really making the rounds. It's all over. It's on YouTube now. And people are describing it as him dressing down the reporter. I don't know. I don't know if it's that bad. I think he wants to make sure that not only is he, there's no quotes from him disrespecting the Colts, but I think he seized on the opportunity to be out, you know, defending them. So, you know, that was kind of an opportunity that he grabbed. He probably didn't have to say, you know, you can go on with your soliloquy, but
probably didn't have to.
But you know, his point is that, you know, he is not going to tolerate anyone attributing anything like that to him, or that they're taking the Colts any lightly than they would any other year. And that's the theme of the week.
Right.
That's the theme of the
week. That's fine for him. I mean, that's his job. I have no problem with that.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. Thursday, we'll be here until 2 o'clock. And then a very special Eric Scalavino edition of the Patriots Playbook with Kevin and Russell Baxter.
Nice.
So that'll be at 2 o'clock.
Poor Russell Baxter.
And then, of course, Pete Shepard will be here at 4 with the B-Low to do the Fantasy B-Low.
The Fantasy B-Low.
Wow.
Sounds like something B.B. Jones would be interested in.
So, I'm not the brightest guy in the world.
So that's all coming up today on Patriots.com radio. Guys, you just came from the locker room. What's going on in there? What's the mood?
Patrick Chung and Tom Brady fighting.
Patrick Chung, very, very lighthearted and jovial.
Frisky.
Hopping around.
Stunned if he doesn't play.
Yes. That's one of those things, by the way, Vegas. That's why they listen.
Yeah, he
Patrick Chung's going to play.
Just was bouncing around. You know, he was at one point, he was putting on his sweatpants and, like, hopping on one foot, like Andy goes, well, I guess it's not that foot, or whatever.
Like he was all over the place.
It was like he was trying to show everybody you know, how healthy he was. And at one point he goes, hey, what, did you guys film that? And then Gronk goes, no thanks, we got it. So something like that.
That means he's not playing, probably.
Yeah, see, I think there's no chance of him not playing. Yeah.
Really?
Unless they just decide, you know what, it's the Colts, and I don't think they're going
to
do that.
And then he told Brady to shut up, and Brady said, good to see you. How are you enjoying the offseason?
So maybe the focus thing might need to be reestablished. But, yeah, very lighthearted locker room. Not a lot of different guys talking. I think Gronk had a big group around him at one point.
Didn't talk about much.
Didn't see. I know Vince was at the podium. I didn't hear what he had to say. I was trying to get Ryan Wendell and didn't see him. But I didn't really see a whole lot of other groups. Did you?
No. It was a very light locker room.
Most of the guys that talked yesterday were in there today.
Yes.
Like Ninkovich and Hedebo and those
Matthew
guys.
Matthew Slater.
Slater.
Yeah.
Taylor
didn't
Price
to be
came
a lot
through.
Of,
big shipment of muscle milk arrived
yeah.
to Andre Carter's locker, and he dispersed and shared some with Mayo and Ahedebo, and then kept like six cases for himself.
Muscle milk.
That's what you should use. If it makes you look like Andre Carter, you should get on it.
What about you?
Dude, I am getting fat.
You
put on 10 pounds this season.
Did you?
I checked on the scale in the locker room. I haven't been running.
All head?
That's another side issue I have. I noticed that. Tyquan Underwood came through with a regular hat on his head, and I'm thinking, he has 7 inches of hair under there, and a hat fits his head. I just have my head, and hats don't fit my head. Something ain't right there.
Well, it's different when it's hair than when it's flesh and bone.
But he clearly sits it on top of the hair so it doesn't push it down too much or anything. It's amazing. He can fit all that under there, and I can't even fit this.
Well, and it's getting bigger, too.
My head?
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah.
My brain is swelling.
It is expanding. Yeah, your brain's swelling. You might have a concussion.
But yeah, muscle milk. By the way, that's the choice of Tom Curran. He likes muscle milk, too.
Oh, the official protein drink. Is that what that is?
Muscle I believe milk, it's protein? Protein and other stuff mixed in. It's a proprietary formula.
Who makes it?
I think like Citto something. Yeah. I think there's a brand behind it.
Well, my son, you know, he's training now, and so he has those protein things after he works out. You go through that. They come in these big bins, but you still go through it fast.
Yep, and it's not cheap.
No.
Depending on what you buy. I mean, you can get some cheap stuff, but you probably shouldn't.
He gets it from the GNC.
Oh, then it's definitely not cheap. Then you're spending 25% more than you have to. Go online.
Yeah?
You can still order the brand name stuff, so it's not bad stuff, but get it online. One of those online discounters, you'll get a much better. GNC is a ripoff city.
Is it real? Well, they always have discounts, though. You buy one, you get one free.
You're still paying more than you would online.
Is that right?
Go online and order a case of whatever he wants or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, go online and get it.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
You know, I'm not into the...
Even though that's where you get your fish oil and stuff.
I'm not in the powerlifting circles like you
I'm not either. I don't take supplements, so. I don't.
Well, you did.
Long, long time ago.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
I'm still feeling the effects.
No. My testicles have come back to normal.
All right. Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-298-0398. So, I mean...
Can I talk about something?
Statistically
related?
Yeah, as long as it's football related.
Yeah, it's not my testicles.
No.
Those are fine. We had an emailer the other day talking about... emailed in about why aren't we giving the credit to the defense, you know, looking in 2001. They went to the Super Bowl. They had the 24th ranked defense in terms of yards. You know, but it's the points that matter. Bills defenses are always better in points, and that's true. But what he left out is, and I did a little research here, the other four times they went to at least the AFC title game, three of which were Super Bowls, they were in the top 10 in defensive yards allowed. 2003, they were seventh. 2004, ninth. 2006, when they just missed going to the Super Bowl,
right.
That Colts
should have,
they were sixth. And 2007, they were four. And by the way, 2007, wouldn't you think they would have given up some yards with, I don't know, 38-point leads? Some other teams might have put up some cheap yards.
Right.
They were fourth in the league, and they were fourth that year in points allowed as well. So it's misleading to say, well, you know, the yards are irrelevant. No, when four out of the five times they've gone to the AFC title game, their yards have been in line with the best in the league. Just like Burt Breer had the 8 of 11 Super Bowl champions were in the top 10 in defensive yards allowed.
You got to have a good defense.
It's true.
To be good in the playoffs. You can't just do it on offense.
It's true.
You know? And very rarely can you do that. You have to have that good defense.
I think you need some sort of balance. Yeah, I agree. I do.
He was trying to get you involved, even though you weren't listening.
No, I was listening. I heard everything you said. And I was going to go with my, defense beats offense, except for when it doesn't, like New Orleans and San Francisco five times.
San Francisco had a very underrated defense
when
they were winning.
Right.
I don't know why he doesn't want
I don't know the numbers. Yeah. I mean, they certainly had players.
The numbers were outstanding. Their defensive numbers were outstanding.
Too.
But
so then,
they were
an
offensive-driven team.
Why do you
poo-poo
but they had playmakers on defense. They always had a decent
the
corner.
The 2007
Patriots
had a defense that had great numbers. I don't think they were very good defensively. They had good players. I don't think they were a very good defense.
Wow. And then when they had to make two stops at the end of the Super Bowl, they couldn't.
They couldn't.
And everybody blames them for losing.
So if they had a better defense.
The Niners' offense never allowed them to get into that
situation. So if they
had
a better.
They just put 55 on the board in the Super Bowl.
Which is why I say the Super Bowl was an offensive loss. Because the Niners never let their defense get in trouble, get in that position to lose the game. The Patriots did.
True.
Tom Brady.
Well, the facts would say that you are correct.
Right. And your theory would say that I am correct, because you said the Niners have never allowed their defense to be put in that position where they had to make a play.
I'm just using that as an example that offense can win the Super Bowl.
No, I know. But the Patriots didn't.
And
their offense failed miserably.
And I would also admit that New Orleans is a much better example than
San
Francisco.
Well, and I'll tell you.
San Francisco's defenses were a lot better than
New Orleans. I'll tell you,
the
Super Bowl that the Giants won where Bill Belichick's defensive game plan was put in the Hall of Fame, isn't that the one where, was it Hampton? You know, they just kept the ball so long on offense that Otis Anderson, that the other team really didn't have a chance. I mean, that was an offense.
That was part of it. Yeah,
that was part of the win too. Was the offense sustained drives?
Right, but that also doesn't work if you then allow the other team in their few possessions to go 80 yards in four plays.
That's true, but I think that conventional wisdom would say if I'm going into the playoffs, I want my defense. If I have to choose. I'd rather have a dominant defense than a dominant offense.
I would just say conventional wisdom is if you're below 25th in anything, you're not very good.
Right.
I don't care what it is. If you rank in the bottom four or five teams, six teams.
And notice I use the word dominant, Paul.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that's the part that you could probably rope me into an argument after a couple of Diet Cokes. You could probably get me into that.
Miller Lights, he'll be screaming. Science! It's proven!
I think you have to score points to win consistently. And I don't think you can hope to win 13-10 every game.
Yeah, but now you're talking about.
Said going into the playoffs, you'd rather be dominant on defense than offense.
Yeah.
I
had to choose.
There are outliers both ways. And the Ravens are a good one. Tampa Bay's a good one. For the defense can do
the
it.
Bears.
The Bears were very good offensively,
too. Yeah, they had, you know.
Bears were a wagon. I mean, that's an all-time team. For a single season,
although
that's one of the
greatest. Wasn't that good a quarterback?
No, but for that year, they were dominant,
and they had no head coach.
Right.
Now, clearly they were better on
figurehead.
Clearly they were better on defense, and I think that history will tell you there have been more teams that have won it all that have been better on defense. But I think this is a different time. I think today's game is different than it was back then. Even like the last 3, 4, 5 years, I think is different than it was.
Well, I don't even think
you know,
I don't
5, 10 years before that.
I don't even think this year there is a dominant defense.
San Francisco, pretty good.
Yeah.
Dominant?
Oh yeah.
Dominant?
Yeah.
I don't know.
They have Alex Smith as their quarterback.
What do you consider dominant? What do you consider dominant?
Like Steelers, Bears, those types of defenses.
You don't think the San Francisco this year has been that?
No.
Okay.
No. Not even close.
So you don't think the Bears would have been dominant if they played this year then?
85
that's what
Bears?
San Francisco's doing. They're just shutting every team down.
No. Okay. Not even close.
They're turning the ball over.
He's making me go to it, Paul.
They're not giving up yards. They're not giving up points, and they're turning the ball over. I don't know what else you can do as a defense.
You're playing Seattle. You're playing the Rams twice.
Played Baltimore last week on the road.
Yeah, and Baltimore doesn't have a good offense this year.
Really?
They're just very inconsistent.
No, that's different than not being good.
Right. Very inconsistent. So
I agree.
You got to look at the opponents. They haven't really shut down a good offense yet.
Shut Dallas down.
So did we.
Okay. Well, you just said they didn't
shut anybody
down.
We didn't have a good defense.
You said that San Francisco hasn't played anybody.
Yeah,
San Francisco does that every week.
Yeah,
they just did it once.
I don't know. I think you're giving too much credit to their defense.
Well,
I mean, that's why they're winning.
But should the credit go to
you? I haven't heard one person except you just now compare the San Francisco defense to the Chicago Bears of 85.
No,
I mean, come on.
I did not.
Come on. Steel Curtain.
He's not like me where he's just going
to
yell.
You could keep yelling, but I didn't compare him to Chicago.
You did.
I said then you don't consider Chicago dominant because San Francisco is shutting their opponents down this year.
Oh,
that's all I said.
All right. So
I didn't say they're as good as Chicago.
Anybody that shuts their opponent down is like the 85 Bears.
If you do it for 11 weeks, Fred, that's dominant. That's
okay,
all
so
I said.
So you are comparing them.
I didn't say anything about Chicago.
I rest my case.
You need a rest. You need to be in a rest home. That's what you should be.
And by the way, for your traditional argument, yeah, they win because they stop the run. They're number one against the run, and they're number one against points allowed. So for your little, if tradition wins, that's a defense.
And they're winning the turnover.
But now you didn't know he turned the whole thing around by saying it doesn't matter because they don't play anybody. He changes his argument every time.
And they're winning the turnover.
Every time you come, you know, come up with something, he just changes it.
And then the part I can appreciate is, I don't know that, Robbie, I'm just yelling at you.
Like, I don't think San Francisco is good enough to have playoff success because I don't think you cannot be able to, I don't think you cannot score and win in the playoffs. I think you have to score.
Right.
And they have a good enough defense to win in the playoffs. That's,
well,
I don't have any doubt about
and
that.
My point is, if they were as good as the Chicago Bears defense, they would be able to win in the playoffs.
But we don't
I don't
know.
Think the Chicago Bears defense could have won in the playoffs without scoring points on
right.
offense.
They had a good offense.
Now, the defense was absolutely light years better than the offense for Chicago. And I also want to reiterate that I think it's a little bit different today than it was 30 years
sure,
ago.
Oh, sure.
But if the Bears didn't put points on the board, I think that eventually they might have been in trouble. They never had to find that out because the Bears scored points. They won those games 20-0, obviously 46-10 in the Super Bowl. But it wasn't like they won, you know, 10-7. They didn't have to win those games. They scored points and dominated.
WebRadio@Patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. What else you got to talk about?
How about the Christmas song? Baby, It's Cold Outside?
What about it?
Chris Price says, and I have a hard time arguing with him on this, it's about date rape.
What? It is.
Listen to the lyrics, and it's like it's a date rape song.
Getting her liquored up, putting things in her drink, won't let her go outside.
She's like, I really can't stay. No, you got to stay.
It's true.
These are the conversations
right,
that
like
we have.
It's like a conversation, right?
Yeah,
right.
The girl, it's a duet or whatever.
I really do.
Yeah,
okay.
And she's like, what's in this drink?
Really?
And Chris Price goes, that would be a roofie.
Yeah, it really, he ruined something so pure and made it seem so dirty. But it's true if you listen to the lyrics.
I guess he's got a point there.
It's very funny if you actually look at the words and you start thinking. No, it was, I think it was like a 40s or 50s song.
Oh, yeah. And it's been done by like all the great.
So I would say that
Tony Bennett type singers, I think.
The crooners.
Yeah, crooners.
Kenny Croon.
Yeah.
Dean Martin always on that show.
I got another number to throw at you that I threw at you in the All Access debate yesterday. 30-1 Patriots record with a 100-yard rusher
since
2001.
Did you already tell Fred the answer to this?
Yeah.
Okay, so listeners, please don't look it up. You're on your own. On your honor. Tell us the one game the Patriots lost when they had a 100-yard rusher since?
2001.
2001. They're 30-1, says Andy Hart, when having a 100-yard rusher. Not rushing for 100 yards
he
as a team.
He just PR'd me.
100-yard
said Andy
rusher.
Hart. He doesn't believe that I added right.
It was totally the opposite. I didn't want to take away credit
to give
from
you. Credit.
Oh, okay.
It was totally the opposite.
I thought it was like when I say, according to the Patriots PR, which means I kind of doubt it, but they wrote it.
No. And Andy and I both looked up the game, and we actually figured it out.
Right.
And we looked it up, and we confirmed.
We knew the season, so that kind of makes it easier.
Oh, that's true. That is true.
It narrowed it down for us a little bit.
We won't tell you the season. See if you can
but
come
up. But I
just
gave a clue.
The
Does
one
it include
game,
playoffs?
No, regular season.
Just the
regular
one season. Game that they had an individual rush for 100 yards that they lost since 2001.
Which, by the way, I think makes a ton of sense. You're a passing-based team, so when you do rush for 100 yards, for the most part of this last decade, you're winning. I said to him, a team like Minnesota, they probably rush for 100 yards a lot and lose because they rush for 100 yards because Adrian Peterson is good.
That's true.
But that's just what they do, and then the passing game doesn't do their job.
It's like having the 30-point score in basketball. You know, you can lose games and have a guy.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
What's his name? The young center they had who puts up great numbers because he's the only guy on whatever team he plays on, the guy they traded to Minnesota. Harrington? No. What's his name?
I don't know.
Jefferson.
I knew it was one of those.
So. All right,
he's
Web Radio.
Now, though.
He's a 2010 guy because he plays for bad teams, and he's the guy.
Yeah. Right. WebRadio@Patriots.com, 508-298-0398. The phone lines are stacking up.
What exactly was that?
Give that number out one more time.
508-298-0398.
Yes.
Kenji, Joe Hijimi. ODB3D98.
Are you excited about Bobby Valentine joining Bill Belichick here in Boston, kind of juxtaposition?
You know, I've gone back and forth at this. My initial, and look, we're not going to talk Red Sox, so please stop
I actually want to discuss it more on the angle of he's a media personality.
Well, that's
comparing him.
My first thing is, why would you want to bring in a guy who wants to be the show? But then I thought, if there's this locker room or this clubhouse needs someone to take the spotlight off these guys.
That's the theory.
So maybe that's, you know, in the short term even, he could be a good choice.
That's the theory.
But I don't know.
In spring training, he'll be the show instead of, are you guys still eating chicken and drinking beer?
Exactly.
I don't know if that'll really work, and I'm not sure that's a great way to go about business.
I really, really, really hope, as a Red Sox fan, that that's not the reason why that they did this. Because it's so short-sighted. So
why would you get a guy who hasn't managed in 10 years?
I mean, you get a benefit from it in February. After February, that's all benefit that you had. Right. That's the reason you hired him now. I'm assuming that's the reason you hired him. All benefit you got from hiring him is out the door come the end of March.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. Well, maybe they don't think the manager plays that big a role where, you know, the main role they want him to play is that deflection, the guy in the microphone.
The guy is considered a good baseball mind,
right.
A good baseball manager now. He's never won, but he's considered to be a guy
who's won until they won.
He's considered to be a guy who has improved the situations that he's been in the past.
And he's a numbers guy. He falls in line with he likes some numbers. He
invented
technology.
Them.
And he also has a relationship with Lucchino, who's running the show.
Yeah, he actually invented sabermetrics.
Did he?
And the Keurig.
The word is, it was kind of like Andy used the analogy of Steve Jobs when he died. And he was responsible for so many innovations that people just started saying things. And Andy and I, who don't really know all this in-depth stuff about the techie world and the business world, you know, people were saying, Steve Jobs created the Keurig, invented the... And we were like,
did he really?
Did he really?
I didn't know where the truth was. Like,
more in the internet?
Right. Yeah, I didn't know where the line was.
Yeah.
And that's, now it's like... Bobby Valentine has been credited with so many innovative things.
He
invented the rap. Did you know that?
Not the song, the food.
The food. He has a restaurant.
Like Saran wrap?
No, wrap sandwich.
Like I'll get a buffalo chicken wrap.
He invented that?
He claims he did. I don't believe it.
Did you hear that explanation, the verbal explanation about, and he's pompous even in his explanation. Well, you know, I learned some Middle Eastern, I forgot what he calls them, but like hieroglyphics. I learned 1,800 of them last year. It's interesting that their word for the rap, anything that's wrapped, is one over the other, and the other thing that it's over is the number two, and that was my number when I played, so that kind of shows that maybe I invented the rap. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about?
Well, did he get plastic surgery to look a little bit more Asian? Because he does.
I think you may have just offended somebody.
I'm pretty sure
you
did.
What?
It takes a lot to render me speechless, but you just did.
He had plastic surgery.
So? A lot of people do. A lot of very successful people do. Jerry Jones did.
Yeah, it looks ridiculous.
So?
Let's go.
I can't wait till he changes his tune.
Let's go.
Somebody in this organization gets plastic surgery. I think it's fine. He looks tremendous.
Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Let's go to Olivier in Virginia. Hey, Olivier.
Hey, guys. Happy belated Thanksgiving to you.
Thank you.
You too.
Thank you, Olivier.
I've missed you guys. I've been cold in ages. I feel like I've lost my place.
Well, you're back. What do you got? What have you been doing? How you couldn't call?
I've listened to the conversation yesterday about peeing in a cup or in a garbage can or whatever.
Yeah.
I've heard conversation about testicular fortitude and stuff like that. I wanted to get back into football.
You got it.
So, you know, I heard a conversation about Taylor Price not being used and Underwood just coming out of the street and having an opportunity. And also people starting to say that, you know, our offense is unidimensional, and if that is the case, don't you think that, and I hope that this is the case, that Coach Belichick is doing this on purpose, not putting his weapon on the field, even though he may be taking the risk of not getting them some reps, but you know, if he feels confident that these guys practice well and so forth, he's just keeping this for himself for the playoffs. And
no chance.
I'm not buying that. I've heard that before. He's saving him for the playoffs or December. I'm not buying that one bit.
That's bad management then. Because
if those guys
keep on being there on the team from those valuable spots, what are we doing? Why don't we get like people that can play? I mean, this is mind-boggling. I don't know how to handle this.
No, I was saying it'd be bad management if he tried to do that.
Oh, I should have known.
We don't know what the situation is. It's a mystery. We don't know why he's not playing him.
There's no reason, I mean, that we can
that
see.
That we know. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we hear little things that we can kind of, but...
Yeah. But even then, I'd like to see if he's one of those guys that Bill Belichick says is a better game day guy.
Right.
I'd like to see that. And we haven't even seen that yet.
And like you said, Tyquan Underwood is here less than a week. It's not like they gave him the whole playbook, so he didn't even really have a chance to screw up in practice, like Price maybe has screwed up in practice at times. So you throw him out there. Just give Price a chance
Underwood
or cut him.
Screwed up on national TV by dropping a nice ball.
That's true. That's true. Price has never done that.
Right? So,
and Ocho has screwed up on national TV, sure. You know, once a week.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, well, Ocho doesn't have any sex anymore. I mean, it's clear. I heard that on Twitter.
Well, he's
so,
saying
you know,
that.
He's got his motivation going there.
Well, he's had that motivation for a month.
What do you think of the Tio rumbling? I mean, if we think about Tio, we could think about, you know, anyone else, including Moss.
Sure. If you want to just, you know, be far-reaching and take anybody, I think there's no chance they sign Tio. Zero.
Yeah, if you're going to do it, because you need to get him in here as soon as possible. So if it hasn't happened yet tells me it's not going to.
I don't think you need to get him in here soon, because I don't think he's going to be valuable this year. Wes Welker wasn't Wes Welker last year.
You know, we're going to do well for the next five games, and then people are going to be super excited about how great the Pats are, but we haven't really have any, or we won't have a real tough team to beat in the next five games.
What is it? You can go on with your soliloquy all you want, but these teams are all good.
Very well done.
Did you get rid of
him? Why? Because you think that Tebow is going to beat us?
No. You didn't see Bill Belichick's press conference.
He said he's been away. He hasn't really been paying attention.
No, I heard.
That
I
was
heard
a joke.
That,
oh,
I don't
sorry.
Take it. I don't. I think that these teams are difficult to beat, don't get me wrong, but I think that we will beat them, but it doesn't mean that these teams that we're going to play are going to help us to get better for the playoffs.
Not necessarily, but each
team... Whoa, you don't think you learned something about your team blocking Dwight Freeney?
Well, I will say, though, that each
no,
one of these teams coming up...
I learned about individual contact between two players, but not about my team.
Well, in good coverage, point. I mean, but each one of these teams do represent something unique that the Patriots will have to kind of prepare for.
Yeah, you got to prepare for a quarterback out of the 40s when you go to Denver.
I think Denver's defense can give the Patriots trouble.
Me too.
I think it could.
I do too.
I wouldn't be surprised.
It gets no credit for their winning.
It has in the past, and I think, you know.
Of course, they're all hurt because
they're
going in to play the Patriots, and that's generally what happens.
You know, I'm kind of tired of Tebow's attitude of mixing sports and religion. I think we need separation of church between church and religion, like we have in politics.
You mean sports and religion, right?
Exactly. If there is a God, we have it. It's number 12. So I think hopefully we can put this to rest when we play.
He's actually wearing a hoodie on the sideline
in Denver,
right?
And that's why.
All right, thanks, Olivier.
Hey, thanks. See you guys.
Okay.
That's why you're going to get that meeting on Sunday Night Football, because you have God versus God, Jesus versus God, whatever you want to call it.
I am God.
Exactly. Only one is worthy and one isn't.
You know, the you mentioned, Fred, when Olivier brought up the whole, are they holding back or, you know, holding for the playoffs? And you said that we hear that a lot. And we do. Every year, people wonder, you know, are there schemes? Are there players? Can anybody give me an example of like a high-profile player that they picked up or a guy who wasn't playing all year that was on the roster that all of a sudden started being a major contributor in the playoffs? Because I'm not being a wise guy. I can't think of one. And am I missing something?
And I'm even going beyond football. I'm trying to think of any sport where they held a guy back and then he brought him out for the playoffs.
Because everybody says that every single year, yet I don't remember it ever happening.
Like now Shaquille O'Neal with, you know, like he was hurt and they
But that's different.
That's
though.
Different. Right. You know, I can't remember them ever doing that because
like I could see you have a guy hurt and you hope to get him back for the playoffs.
Right.
That makes sense to me.
Right.
But I'm talking about this. Taylor Price has been on the team all year. People are wondering where this third receiver is going to come from. We're not going to play him now, but in January we're going to unveil him on the league. Can anybody think of a Patriot that has done that?
No.
Or a guy they
James
signed?
Starks.
They signed late.
But that was all injury related.
I know. I'm only kidding.
Sean Green, I don't know what he played before he had that great postseason. But I don't
but
think
it, but
it wasn't a purposeful
yeah, that's
holding
what I'm saying.
Him back.
There's a difference between
you don't do
playing
that.
Better in the playoffs than you did in the regular season and being held back in the regular season so you could
there
surprise
is,
teams.
I mean, the closest playoff. Thing to that is, you know, like Junior Seau. You know, we can get you late in the year and maybe you can help us. Or Roger Clemens, I'll play a half a season. But it doesn't happen with
that's
young
players.
That's
an acquisition. But there's no substitute for
experience.
But
I'm even talking about an acquisition. Like Junior Seau would count if he were a high-profile guy.
Right.
I mean, a high-profile performer, I should say. Obviously, he's a Hall of Fame player, but he wasn't a Hall of Fame player with the Patriots.
Right.
No. He was a punk. Isn't that what Bill called him? I ain't been called a punk
in 20
years.
A punk in 20 years.
But, you know, that reminds me of the tweet that I think you retweeted from Jim Irsay today.
Or was Andy it you, Andy? Andy retweeted it.
What? That he said, you know, these rumors that we've been secretly working out Peyton Manning, we're going to unveil him for the Patriots game are absurd.
The best part of that was?
Why did he tweet that out to begin with, though?
Why not?
Why does he feel the need to do that?
Well, he tweets all the time about all kinds of stuff.
Does he?
It's not it's not out of character for him.
Not for him.
He tweets all the time. You know, like if Robert had all of a sudden addressed a rumor, that would be odd to me.
But why did he feel the need to address that rumor?
Because he's probably heard it a lot, and it's making him laugh.
But it's but it is an absurd rumor. So why did...
It's so absurd, though. The first email I got was from our friend No Socks, who said, I was starting to think that maybe that was a possibility.
Oh, I think a lot of people have been saying that. A lot of people, because he had that medical checkup on Wednesday. Everybody thought he was going to get cleared to play, and then he was going to play this week.
You get a checkup from the neck up?
I'll bet you...
Run in there and give me a rim shot.
I'll bet you at least 15 people have asked me if I thought that Manning would play this week, including No Socks.
Play? I just want to see him practice.
We're not talking about games, we're talking about practice.
Right, that's ridiculous. That is just ridiculous.
What the hell is this?
Let's go to the phones again. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline down here in the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studio. Are we still sponsored by Subway? I guess so. Rick in Cape Cod. Hey, Rick, how you doing?
Pretty good. Yourself?
Doing great.
All right. Well, I just wanted to get back to when you were talking about the 49ers and their defense and dominating defense and whatnot.
Right.
And I've heard on, like, ESPN before. I don't know what happened in the Ravens game because I didn't watch it. But I believe the 49ers have not allowed a rushing touchdown all season.
That's correct. So, they still haven't.
Yeah.
So, I don't believe that's true.
They had that.
49ers have not allowed a rushing touchdown this season. They said it, unless the NFL Network was wrong.
Oh, yeah.
They said it in that game, and they didn't allow one in that game.
You're right.
Yeah, so I'm, like, and Ravens have, Ray Rice, and he's, like, a pretty decent running back last time I heard.
And they had the ball inside the one, and Ray Rice lost 3 yards on the next carry. That's why I was like, wow, they ain't going to allow one here either.
Yeah, exactly. So I just want to throw that out. Yeah, and, you know, with our defense, every week I watch a game, and I'm just hoping that they don't, you know, completely crap the pants and, you know, give up the point. My heart, you know, kind of drops every time I see, like, when Vince Young threw that long pass, like, what was it, like, third play of the game or whatnot. It was just, that was, you know, uncalled for. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, and at times it looked like they're effortless to stop it. Back there.
Yeah,
now, hopefully
exactly.
You get this week, maybe you get McCourty and Chung back and you feel a little better, but as I've said before, they didn't look great at the beginning of the year with those guys out there.
Yeah, exactly. But I just wanted to, that was it, guys. Appreciate it. It was my first time calling.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you.
We enjoyed the call. Rick. Call back anytime. We like callers.
And that is true, because I was watching that game the other night, Thanksgiving night, and they did mention that about San Francisco's run defense. So that's a point in my favor for the argument.
Okay.
I always appreciate that.
Okay. Another person comparing them to the 85 Bears. Let's go to John in L.A.
The 85 Bears, a lot of rushing touchdown.
So they're better now.
If you want to take it to the theater,
John, how you doing?
I will too.
I'm great.
Great. How you doing?
I'm doing great. First of all, want to totally support Olivier and Jeff in Vegas. I think they're great callers, and people complaining about them calling in too much are ridiculous. Paul, I appreciate the reference to Alec Baldwin in Malice. Very good.
Oh, yeah, that's an Andy and I favorite.
That is an underrated movie.
I don't know about the movie, but we use that line probably once every 10 days around here for somebody or something. Brady, Belichick, somebody.
I have a couple of quick points or questions about the offensive line. Do you think it's an underrated trouble spot for the season that we don't talk about that much? But I feel like I'm often a little disappointed with the offensive line. Not this past week, actually, but what do you think?
I think Andy's nodding, but he's chewing, and I think we're both in agreement. Yeah, I think it is an underrated concern. I think their depth has been really tested. You're your third center with Ryan Wendell. You got problems at right tackle. There was reports yesterday, and we probably should have mentioned this before now on the show. Some people are reporting that, according to a source, whoever the source is, Sebastian Vollmer will be out, quote, a while.
Right.
There's only 5 weeks left in the season, so I don't know how long a while is. That's concerning. By the way, both back and foot still listed on the injury report for him. And, you've had some problems. It hasn't been Logan Mankins' best year. We've talked about that a little bit yesterday. I agree with you 100%, John. I think that the offensive line is an under. I like the way you said that, kind of like an underrated, underreported concern.
Yeah. The other thing is, I remember when Copen went out about a week or so after, like after they put him on IR, or maybe just a few days. There was some rumor that he was a little, he was less than happy. The team didn't wait and take a chance on carrying him for a little while, even if it was a long while.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly understand both sides of that. But I'm wondering how he must feel as he watches Dane Fletcher on the roster for such a protracted period of time with his injury. I know Fletcher's, I guess, practicing again. But it seems to me that if I were Dan Copen, I'd be like, there's this like third string linebacker who, you know, why on earth did they give him so much rope and they didn't give me that
rope? It's a good point, but I think a third string linebacker on this team is valuable because they go down so deep on defense. You know, they just have to.
Plus special teams, and I think they felt good about Dan Conley, and they probably felt good about Ryan Wendell. Now, if you get more injuries, right, you don't feel as great
now
about
you
the
wish
position.
You had them, but yeah.
But I think with those couple guys, they felt okay at that position, and it would be so close in their mind. You might get them right before the playoffs start. Is there a value in that? Blah blah blah. The guy I'd be pointing to is the guy we've been talking about for 2 weeks. You keeping Taylor Price on the roster to do absolutely nothing. He doesn't play on special teams. He stands next to the coach, but you couldn't keep me around, a Pro Bowl center who might help you in the postseason. That's the guy I'd be pointing to.
You know, I know he's young and everything, but they always talk about, I mean, even the Patriots, you hear them talking about the fact that there are certain guys who practice well and other guys who don't, but in the games they're better. So, I don't know. I guess if the problem is that he seems like he's not picking up the playbook and he can't be trusted, then I guess I understand that. But,
right.
But I'd love to see them, you know, commit one game, like, say, against Indianapolis because they stink.
Right.
You know?
But would you learn anything? That would also be the question. If you play a stinky team, does that make you feel better putting him on the field against the Ravens or the Jets or the Steelers when it matters?
Don't let Belichick hear you say that. Because he'll give you that soliloquy thing.
Yeah, but I'll continue to go on with my soliloquy. I won't be batted around like the blonde from Fox 25.
Oh,
and then he'll mother bleep me when he walks off the podium.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right, the first time.
LA. Thanks for the call, John. 508-298-0398, webradio@patriots.com. It's the email address. Got a lot of emails we'll get to right after this.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats, including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long. I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hotter iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new Bakery Fresh Chicken and Tuna Salad Sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
You ask.
How come the only time you give out the phone number is the time when people can't call?
And we listened.
They can't call. That line's busy.
Why do you have to tell everybody there's only one line?
The phone line has been upgraded to four lines. Call us at 508-298-0398.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at Patriots.com is the email address. I just spit a piece of tuna right at the laptop.
And I just found the Patriots deep threat. I'm watching SportsCenter. LeBron James. Looks like he can move, get down the field, good size, goes up and fights for the ball. He won't be good in fourth quarters, but hopefully the game will be over by then.
Speaking of that, RL writes in, Andy. He says, if you're so worried about Taylor Price, why don't you grab your nuts and ask Belichick about him straight up? Aren't you in his press conferences all the time?
I like employment. This time of year, I got gifts to buy for the family, so I'll probably refrain.
Well, it's not like people haven't asked about Taylor Price.
And if you actually want him to answer, you're going to have to go on a soliloquy or get belligerent, as some of his famous retorts have said, because he flat out ignores the question, as he did this week when he talked about the result. Well, Taquan played more than...
Am I really into solving the world's problems?
No, this is your problem, Bill. It's on your roster. It's not the world's problems.
Robin's going to get all serious on us in Alaska.
Uh-oh.
He says, or she, I'm not sure. Language can be interpreted to suit many points of view, especially when language is being used with flourishing lyrics. However, we have to remember the context of the song. This is The Baby, It's Cold Outside. It's a playful verbal dance between two lovers as involved and or married men. We all understand this dance, excluding Eric, of course. The song isn't about getting some strange at Christmas party or any other type of cloudy situation where the male is sporting his unit on his hip for all to see. Also, the drink in question is a hot toddy, which is a traditional warm alcoholic beverage served in cold weather. While it is funny, he puts that in quotes, to apply criminal intent to this song, that interpretation flies in the spirit of the song. I think we all know that. Well, but
No, I'm going to argue that.
contact Chris Price on Twitter.
No, that was, I hope Robin was just making a joke there, right?
Right.
Wasn't the sarcasm? Who's the guy with the sarcasm alert for me?
Right. Not Robin.
Yeah, I think Robin was kind of on the sarcasm alert.
Anthony from Toronto, do you guys realize our offense goes on streaks? I'll break it down. The first 2.5 games, it was unstoppable, and all of a sudden in the second half of the Buffalo game, they sucked. They didn't come back to form until the second Jets game on the Sunday night. Since then, it has been back to normal, but in the middle, they really never had those typical Patriot drives, and now Brady looks comfortable in the pocket and steps into his throws. So that's a streak.
I think we've been talking about how, you know, the first quarter, for example.
Right.
A touchdown in the first quarter of each of the first five games, no touchdowns in the first quarter of the next five games. I mean, I think we were aware of how streaky their offense has been.
But you also have to keep in mind the defenses he played, the players on those defenses were part of it. Maybe
I mean, Brady did mention, I think last week, about there was a stretch that every team they were playing had a pretty good pass rush.
Right.
You know,
and that stretch will continue.
Yeah.
The teams aren't as good, the defenses, but the stretch continues. I just forgot what I was going to say. I had something to add to that.
All right, well, while you're thinking. Gene in Daytona, you guys might think I'm crazy, but Taylor Price's problem is he has too much respect for Tom, and Tom has none for him. That's the whole story, guys. No mystery to it. It's that simple. Taylor has to go up to him in the locker room and say to him, "Listen, you blank, when I'm open, throw me the ball." What do you think Tom's reaction would be? Do you think Tom will go tell Bill about it and be on the first bus out of Foxborough?
Yep.
Do you think Tom will yell back at him to shut up and get back to your locker, or will he just laugh his ass off and say, okay, get on the field? Tom is the ultimate competitor and wants to be sure in a fight the guy next to him will fight. He is not sure about Taylor yet. I see the only way for Taylor to stay in New England is to do that.
Yeah, I don't think that. I think Tom would yell at him and then go tell Bill. I think he would do both. But the problem isn't he doesn't throw him the ball when he's open. The problem is he's not on the field.
He's not on the field. How can you be open if you're not on the field?
That'd be different if he were doing that, if you were ignoring him. Every week he's out there, but, you know, wide open and Brady looks the other way. Wide open, Brady looks.
Brandon Tate could have done that to him last year.
Yeah.
Theoretically. He could have said, look, Tom, you know, you're only throwing me the ball 20, 25 times, but I'm open. Throw me the ball. He's out there every play. Ocho and, to a much greater extent, Price, they're not even on the field.
Right.
Right.
They're not getting ignored by Brady on the field. They're not on the field.
Yeah, Ocho I wouldn't even put in that category because when he's been out there, Brady's almost forced him the ball at times. He had that game where he threw it five times, and you know, it seems like his targets per times on field is kind of high.
Brett in Northern California, I totally agree with Paul, says Brett, on his assessment of Belichick calling off the dogs out of respect to Andy Reid and putting Hoyer into the game versus the Eagles. And I fully expect them to run up the score circa 2007 versus Polian in the Colts this weekend. Should be fun to watch.
It should be fun to watch. You know what the worst possible thing would be? If it's not fun to watch, it's really bad for the Patriots.
If they, like, slop their way through a game, that could be really, really bad to watch.
And you know what could be really bad? The post-game press conference, if that happens.
Yeah, he'd be well, that's part of why I'm saying
he
it could
might
be
fight
bad.
You. Oh, that wouldn't be so bad.
If they go out there and win a game like, say, 17-6, you won't see me in any position to get in a fight with Bill. I'll be like, I'll be hanging out in the back.
And then the ladies that he's been fighting a lot lately. He's a lot like you this year. He likes to pick fights with the women in the press corps. But that'll be really, I mean, you're playing a born loser. No offense to Dan Orlovsky, but that's all he does is lose football games. He's never won in the NFL, ever, literally, you know. I'm being literal.
Did you know he's been in 15 games?
And he's lost every one of them.
Right. He's 0-for as a starter and as a backup.
That's a lot.
And as a fill-in.
That's a lot of games.
Yeah. He hasn't won a game since the schoolyard, I hear. He didn't win college.
I'm pretty sure he won in college.
I'm only kidding.
He's the anti-Tim Tebow, though. He just loses.
Yeah. And he's not religious.
He isn't?
I don't know.
What is he?
I have no idea. It doesn't matter.
No, you're big on names. What's that
this
name?
He'll be Polish.
He's a Pole. Well, obviously, that's why he's...
Well, actually, I don't know. If sometimes when it's SKY,
could that be Jewish?
Yeah.
I would think Jewish, but yeah. I don't know for sure.
Oh, he's on Landon Cohen.
Yeah. Canadian Mike from Florida. Sorry, Fred, I haven't had a chance to write in this year, but I've been listening. I would call, but Jeff from Vegas seems to have dibs on airtime. This confuses you, but, you know, John in L.A. says you shouldn't make fun of those guys. He likes them.
I agree.
And look, if you, I think they are good callers. They come, they bring it, they have something to talk about.
Plus they call. If they have an opinion, they're not afraid to voice it. They're not afraid to express themselves on point.
I agree. I like all the participants in the show.
And you have to call, understanding you could get criticized or made fun of or shot down.
We do.
Right. That's how we perform this show. We know certain things we say are going to be laughed at.
But Mike says that it confuses me because he is neither fun or amusing, and if anyone is using white powder, it's Jeff from the Venetian in Vegas. I wonder what kind of kickback he gets every time he mentions that hole of a hotel. Here's a bet for you. The chances Jeff from Vegas is annoying, 1-1. Book it. What a cork soaker. High five, Brooklyn Matt. Anyhow, so that's a virtual high five over the internet.
Still gay.
Anyhow, just some over-under questions for you. Letting Andy play is optional. Question one.
Over.
Price touches for the remainder of the season, over under 5.
Over.
I'm going to say over, too.
You're still holding out hope.
Kind of. Even though I've given up, I still kind of
okay.
am.
I think he's going to be on the field in some of these blowouts, and I think he's going to get a chance to make some catches.
And Hoyer might throw.
He caught 3 in that game last year against Miami.
I believe.
Right?
3 or 4.
He's going to have 3 games like that Miami game.
Maybe this week. If they call the dogs off, maybe he and Hoyer are on
that's
the field.
That's why I'm
and
taking
And Hoyer doesn't
over.
Hate him like Brady does, so he'll throw to him.
Average points per game for the Patriots the remainder of the season, 31.
Points
average
per game.
Over.
Over, says Paul.
Average. Who do they play? Yeah, probably. I don't know. Miami and Denver could hold you down.
Yeah, they could.
And who else they got? They got what's that?
Washington,
like?
Indy and Buffalo Washington. Won't be able to hold them down.
Indy and Buffalo. I'm going to take the under.
Okay. Average points against per game the remainder of the season.
Over
14.
Over.
Andy says over. Ocho Cinco TDs.
I'll say
one.
Over too.
Ocho Cinco TDs one under, says Paul. He's not going to get one.
Push.
Roster moves for the remainder of the season. 1,652. Over.
God, by a late field goal.
Let's see. Chad writes in, did you see the tweet that at Tom Brady fan page tweeted about the difference between the Packers' so far perfect record versus the Patriots' 07 perfect record? Here it is. In 07, New England went 16-0 with a tough schedule facing teams with a combined record of 113-58. Green Bay so far has faced teams with a combined record of 67-76. I'm not much of a fan of records, even though 07 was special, but are the Packers really a team to fear, or are they just a regular team with a very easy schedule that just looks like a contender?
Team to fear.
I think so.
They may not be the greatest of all time, but
that
team to fear.
That offense is unbelievable. I do, though, want to point out that there is a point, I think it might be the last game of the season, where if Green Bay continues to go undefeated, they'll have 22 games in a row and they'll break the Patriots' mark.
They could.
And that's a real record because it includes the postseason.
Right. I will say that I don't know about Green Bay's schedule this year, but in the Patriots in 2007, it was an extremely difficult schedule. To go undefeated against that schedule is unbelievably impressive. It's beyond just 16-0, which is hard enough. They played everybody that year. They played the Iron in both conferences that year.
And they played 8 of the games on the road.
They did.
Yep.
But if you recall, I mean, at Dallas, I mean, that's a non-conference game. You know, that's as tough as they come by. Dallas was the number one seed in the NFC that year. They had a win at Dallas that year.
At Baltimore.
Baltimore stunk that year. But the
they played them tough.
Yeah. But that schedule was extremely challenging. They played all of the best teams. They played all of the playoff teams and beat them all.
So, you know, 67-76, I don't know what you say from that. It's just, it's a down year all in the league, I think, you know.
But, I mean, I think you can at least say they have to play their division.
Right.
That's 4 pretty good games right there.
Chicago's been, well, no, where are they now? Who am I talking about?
Chicago and Detroit.
Chicago's been pretty good. Now, you know, they lost a quarterback, but Detroit, obviously.
Right, that's 2 pretty good, tough teams.
VIP Strippers says that Dan Orlovsky is Jewish. So, be that what it may.
So he could be in the next version of the Adam Sandler song.
Yeah.
Dan Orlovsky, quite a Jew, but doesn't win.
Gene writes in, did you guys hear Gronk this morning on the radio?
No.
The talk show asked Rob if he played defense where he would like to play. Rob said that he had played defensive end and enjoyed it. I could see him there.
God, yeah. Although not fast off the ball.
The host then asked him if there was one person in the league he could hit, who would it be?
Yeah.
Then there was a pause, and he said Tom Brady. The host almost choked on the answer, laughing, and then he asked why. And he said, I don't know. I think I just like it. The host said that it was because he's always yelling at you. Rob said, yeah, I guess so.
I like how you do the, yeah, I guess so.
That's probably how he said it, right?
Oh, yeah. Everything ends that way. Today, he said nothing and then ended it with, because there was like a silence, dead air. He fills time.
Andy walked over when he had a big group around him. He said, I'll see. You know, usually Gronk has something that you can tweet out. So he walked over and I go, how do you spell? And that's all he basically said. Every sentence was followed with a.
What was that shirt he had on today?
The BB thing? I don't know.
What was that?
It wasn't about Bill Belichick, by the way.
I was thinking of the other BB.
Some kind of.
Hey, Paul,
his
I may have missed something when I stepped out for a moment there, but why is Breer saying screw you to you?
We're going back and forth about our
our
high school's meeting in the Super Bowl on Saturday.
That's going to be an utter demolition, right?
Yeah.
Where is it?
I feel a little bit bad for Lincoln Sudbury, to be honest with you. They don't deserve to have to play a Division I team like Everett in the Super Bowl.
Where is it?
I don't know. Bentley, I think, maybe?
My alma mater made it to the Super Bowl.
Martyr.
D.Y.
Who are they playing?
I have no idea.
Here?
They're probably going to win it, too.
Are they here?
Yeah.
Do you know what schedule? Oh, they are here?
Yep. Let's see. Derek writes in from the University of Arizona. Hey guys, in the Argyle Prince of Pomposity, I was just relaxing at home last night and I decided to re-listen to this past draft show. I know it's a bit random, but those are by far my favorite episodes. So much funny content. Andy threatening to throw Eric out the window after Quinn is selected by St. Louis. People questioning suicide and asking where they can send their Patriots gear. Just audio gold.
And why did I threaten to throw Eric out the window?
I don't know. You were probably just mad.
5-hour energy had kicked in.
And yes, Paul, there is value in draft podcasts. I only say that because you question whether there was value in those shows during the episode. Anyway, as fun as the show was, I had to relive the pain of Quinn all over again. We said next year, this upcoming draft, we wouldn't do this to ourselves again, but too late. I'm getting the ball rolling. Andy, a.k.a. Mr. Draft, keep an eye on Alabama's Courtney Upshaw and Marshall's Vinnie Curry. I really like both of these guys and figure Patriots Nation could select one of them to be the next target at outside linebacker, which will inevitably result in angry drunk emails and phone calls and hopefully a phone call from Swig.
Hey, guy.
Because last year's was awesome. Hope you all had a great Thanksgiving and talk to you soon.
I haven't seen a lot of Curry, but a lot of people like him. He's curried favor with quite a few in the pre-draft process.
All right.
There, Curry.
508-298.
Eric will like him if I say I like him.
Eric's here while he gets organized. Draft. We'll talk to Sean in Salt Lake. Hey, Sean.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
So, I have a solution to Price.
Okay.
Of course, Bill's not going to do it.
Nope.
But even if he doesn't know the playbook, put him out there like Moss. If he beats the guy, they throw him the ball. You know, the whole stick his hand up in the air when he has the guy beat, because when he was in the preseason, he was awesome.
Yeah. They'll never do it. You're right.
Well, but the difference between that, and I hear what you're saying, but Moss, even though, you know, maybe he had a limited amount of plays that he was good for, he and Brady understood each other, and they knew how to make those adjustments. And from what we, you know, hear, maybe that's part of it, is that it's not necessarily, oh, this is what this, you know, play means. It's what happens when the guy is covering you to the inside or something like that,
right.
You know? So.
Yeah. So two more ones real quick. Since we have Edelman on defense, one person from the defense that I would love to see on the offense if he was healthy would be McCourty as a receiver.
Sure. Okay. I mean, he has a nice stride down the field. I can see it.
I mean, I could see him doing a Moss roll strictly down the sideline because usually he gets beat on any on anything that he has to go over the middle of the field as a defender, so I couldn't see him doing well as the receiver.
Yeah, I don't think he'd be a real fluid route runner.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure he's got that straight line speed either. I think he's more of a defensive back kind of speed. I think he's more about his physical than he is about his athletic. I mean, I'm not saying he's not athletic, but...
But he's also not very tall.
Yeah.
Is he only 5'10"?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, McCourty.
Yeah, he's about like 5'10", 5'11".
And one other
confirmation.
thing,
thank you.
Can you tell me anything about the defensive back that we signed yesterday?
Paul?
All right, thanks for the call, Sean.
Yeah, he's played a lot.
Would have been funny if we had just done that, not answered.
He's got like, you know, 100 career games.
Tiny dude. He's not the 5'10 that they listed.
Not a ton of starts.
Wow. You're in trouble if Eric calls you tiny.
Mostly special teams.
Well, I looked him
work.
In the eye today, so I know he's not 5'10". You belly up to him like Paul does?
Sorry, Paul. I know we're linemen.
I didn't belly up to him.
I'm just saying.
No, I was
the opposite.
That was a look about the belly up thing. Like
Eric would not belly up to him. Would skinny guy bump nuts? Whatever.
Oh God!
Oh my God!
He is such
Now you know where the look came from.
Sam in Chicago writes in. Here's the dream.
Gino's
you,
unit?
Paul, and Andy walk into a North End restaurant and sit down at a table with Bill Belichick.
Who gets whacked?
Bill looks over his martini glass. As he takes a sip and says, okay, guys, you each have one question and one question only that you can ask me that I'll flat out answer the question truthfully and as in-depth as you like. What question would you want answered?
That's a ridiculously good question.
And one that you really need to think about, you know?
Yeah, because you don't want to waste it.
I have so many things that I would really love to know the real story about, but I don't know what the best one would be.
Why are you the way you are? That's not a bad one.
Do you hate Eric?
Don't waste it on that. We already know the answer to that question.
I've seen lately, he's been giving you a lot of love at press conferences.
There actually has been a change.
Yes.
No change in whether he uses your name, though.
No.
I heard him say Eric.
No, he's never said
Eric. Has never heard him say Eric.
He only used that once when we had our one-on-one interview.
Okay.
That was it.
So he does know your name.
Never one there to see it.
He does know your name.
Well, Bears may have fed it to him.
I was going
to
say, he knew it at that moment in time.
But he's been, I think, giving you thoughtful answers.
I would agree, Fred.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, if it was this week, I would have just been reactionary and said, what the hell are you doing with Taylor Price? But that would be a wasteful one over
no,
the grand
it would
scheme
have
of
to be,
things.
Yeah, it would have to be something much more long-term,
you could ask
big,
about,
big picture.
You could ask about 2001 towards the end of that season, if you know what I mean.
I was avoiding talking about things like that.
I'm talking about, you know...
To be honest with you, if I had a gun to my head and I had one question, it would probably be something about something we're not really supposed to
talk
about.
I agree.
Right.
Like that.
Well, right now, like, obviously, what is the real deal with Taylor Price? I mean...
That wouldn't be my question.
No.
Mine would be that right now, but I would regret it later because I wasted it on such a stupid topic that is irrelevant.
Right, right.
And in 2 years, it's a guy who's not even here anymore, and you're like, wow.
How about,
who passed through.
I think, Andy, yours should be, you know, having to do with the draft. And, you know, why?
That's a good one.
Why are you doing what, you know, something along those lines?
Why seemingly are you so reluctant to pick a pass rusher?
Right.
Right.
That could be a good one.
That'd be a good question.
I can think of another good one.
I think Brady stuff, you know, Brady 2001 stuff, I think would be good to ask.
Yep.
You know, would you have really made the move if Bledsoe didn't get hurt?
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. Where? You know, when did you turn the pitcher?
About Bledsoe.
No, I'm talking about big pitcher stuff. Like Taylor Price to me is very interesting now.
Right.
But it has a great chance to be completely irrelevant when you look back at this decade.
And will be.
You
no
know,
question.
The Brady thing to me is the single most important moment in Patriots history. When he took over the reins as quarterback, completely changed the complexion of this franchise forever.
How about just give me the single most overrated
too dramatic?
And underrated
no,
players
not at all.
You've coached in New England?
It is a good one.
Okay.
Two of the what?
Overrated, single most overrated and underrated players you've had in New England.
I'd love to hear the answer to that. There's a lot of things like
that. That would be a good one.
That if I had him truthfully answer, I would love to hear the answers to.
Sure.
You know?
Eric's here, and
How annoyed are you?
Brady. I mean, this guy's been riding my coattails for 10 years.
Did you practice?
Practice was early today.
Oh, it was early?
Yeah.
I was wondering why you were so early. What's going on?
They're outside.
Early Shirley.
Black crew neck.
No, it's actually
whatever.
Charcoal.
Right.
I can't really see it.
Okay.
No.
Gray.
There's an R in that, right?
Good news is that Spikes was still on the
gray.
Field. Fletcher was still on the field. Bad news was that Spikes was not. And Vollmer continues to be absent.
Spike's not on the field.
No, he was out there yesterday.
He was there for the walkthrough.
In a jacket, so
which
we don't know
he can walk.
Yeah, but he wasn't out there today. However, like I said, Fletcher making an appearance again, so that's encouraging news for him. That's 2 days in a row.
Okay.
Bad news for Sebastian Vollmer, who 2 days in a row now, back and foot, right
foot.
So
it's got to be the foot, right? Because the back's been all along, and he was in a walking boot, so it's right. a foot injury.
Oh, yeah. The foot injury is keeping him out, but the back right. is still a problem, yeah. is my point.
But I which would be far about more concerned if it were back, if there were no foot. Which I think was initially
the
case yesterday.
Yeah. Right.
Because we've said he looks
That's
a little
exactly
stiff.
That's exactly what I thought.
And if he now couldn't play because it's even worse, now I'd be going with your thing. He's damaged goods, and this may be the rest of his career. At least he's out with a foot injury. And, the back is still there. Well, yeah. I mean, based on the circumstances.
But
he's played with a back injury
odd.
For a month, and then
but
he
I
hurt
thought
his
it
foot,
odd that they
got
made
x-rays,
him...
and he's on the injury report with a foot and isn't practicing.
I agree with you. I just thought it odd that they made a correction to add
Well, because I called... No, they didn't. They made the correction to add foot.
Yeah.
Oh, it just said
right.
back.
Yes. Right.
Oh, never mind that about the back.
Which
so
has
I
nothing
called,
to do with
I
football.
Called the PR department and said, are you sure it's just the back? And then a few minutes later, they sent out the correction.
And it has nothing to do with football. I would wager my year's salary... that whenever what information is sent to the person who sends out the injury report, foot was on there. And it just wasn't put on the media version.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I agree with that.
Based on the history of the injury report being
that.
Updated later.
Yeah. Freddie, back to our holding back things
hold on,
for playoffs.
One really quick thing.
Eric Spikes thing. I think you're probably going to hold him back a little bit longer because you can.
But it's injury related.
Oh, yeah.
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 Yep.
Sorry, go ahead.
Just one little addendum to the Fletcher note. He did
have a
thumb cast again. We weren't sure yesterday because they were so far away and couldn't really tell even with the binoculars. But he did have one on, so he'll still be playing with that.
I
for
hope
the time
they
being.
Replaced his thumb with a bionic thumb or something. I mean, this
well,
is
they
a
did,
serious
he need the cast.
Injury that this guy had, right?
Apparently,
for the thumb,
as serious as
thumbs go,
as thumbs go, yeah.
Yeah.
They're important. Aren't they the difference between us and, just being
Neanderthals
apes or whatever?
Right, I guess so.
The opposable thumb, it's important. Us and panda bears.
Or the Jet fans. Yeah.
Oh.
It would be funny. He just puts his thumb down and runs to the quarterback on his thumb because it's like this bionic thing. Carries his whole body. Tackles him with
remember
his legs.
Remember those football cards they used to have? Do you remember those when they came out?
What and it was whatever cards? A guy was great at. They had a real photo, but then there would be like the thighs of some running back. They would show that he's really like made out of a robot thigh or Megatron.
Really?
Would be. There was a series of football those. Cards that were pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't remember those. Scott
Here's
writes
Paul
in.
And I go, I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Scott writes
when
in
you guys collected them, they still had that real hard gum in the middle of
no,
them.
No, when
stuff.
We collected them, they were still doing the no helmets on and they were doing
jumping.
The
the linemen.
Scott is from Des Moines. Yeah. He says, I understand where you guys are coming from, that it's harder to gauge the team's improvement against lackluster opponents, especially for fans and others outside the locker room. However, I think Bill can still assess the team's improvement in certain areas, such as pass in run blocking, pass coverage, and defensive pressure against the Colts based upon performance against the Colts' outstanding individual players. But I do have one serious question for you. Who will get laid first, Eric or Ocho Cinco?
Eric,
you want to handle that one?
I got a
rhetorical
feeling,
question. Here,
I think I got a feeling that question's already been answered in Philadelphia.
Now stop it!
Really?
It's always sunny in Philadelphia.
No, just.
But what happens in Philly stays in Philly.
Fred,
that'd be a great story if you
shame on
lost
you.
Your virginity.
Shame on you,
this show.
Well,
22-year-old listener to this show.
Stop.
38 what? Years into your life.
First of all,
Ixnay on that. He told her he was only 29.
Early hair loss.
I hate you guys.
Eric writes in.
No, I'm not.
With
I'm right
a K.
Here.
Another Eric from
right
Sweden.
Here.
Sweden's fans so. A fool, so.
No, he's from Brooklyn. Eric from Brooklyn.
Why is he from Sweden then? Where
because we
come?
Had an Eric with a K from Sweden yesterday that wrote in. But this one's from Brooklyn, not Brooklyn.
It is from
Matt.
Stockholm, Brooklyn.
Give you $100 if you find Matt and kick his ass.
Fred, thanks for reading my email. Hey, guys, and Andy. I'd like to just quickly
Suck
chime
it,
in on some topics and hear what you guys have to say. Peeing. I'm with Fred. Of course, I know there are remnants of human and animal waste everywhere, especially outside, and I'm fine with that. But having a fresh puddle of it in the area where people are routinely going to the ground should be avoided when possible.
When are they routinely going to the ground underneath a drink table?
Look,
that's
I'm
the
fine.
Part I don't get.
Look, I'm fine with letting it loose just about anywhere outside.
Me
but
too.
Would you take a whiz right next to the campfire right before everyone sat down? No. That's kind of my point. Regarding Taylor Price, perhaps he's unwilling to work on special teams. The fact that we don't see him in the kicking game could also be the reason he's not getting reps with the offense.
He's not unwilling. They don't want him there.
Do you guys know if he's participated in the kicking game at practice? Has he done any work with the kicking game at all?
Yes,
I really don't know.
He does, yes.
Bill has emphasized over and over again that players work their way into the game through their work in the kicking game, not through their big potential in either offense or defense. Wide receivers at the bottom of the chart are particularly necessary in the kicking game. Do you think there's anything to this theory?
So Taquan Underwood earned his role by playing in the kicking game for a while before he got on the field in offense?
That's the thing.
That would fly in the face of that theory.
That's what kills that.
He has been doing that in practice. We saw in the walkthrough yesterday, actually, they were doing mostly kickoff and kickoff return work.
And he was,
and he's one of the guys in the return game. And when they come out for warm-ups, the kickers, the three specialists come out first, and then after that the return guys come out. And Price is always, almost always among that group of players who comes out to return kicks.
He's not very good at it.
Cannon fired. Do you guys see Cannon on the field against the Eagles? I think I saw him briefly in garbage time. Do you have any observations? Have you seen him around? I haven't heard you mention his entrance onto the playing roster.
Paul likes him.
We have talked about his entrance onto the playing roster. He's gotten some mop-up duty each of the last two games.
And you squared things away with him, right?
No. He doesn't want to talk to us.
Really?
Don't say
still?
Us. He hasn't turned me down yet. I actually looked over today. No, but he was talking to Jeff Howe today. I
saw that.
And I go to Eric. I said, wouldn't it be great if we watched from afar and he ended this interview with a big hug and they hugged it out?
Yeah.
He didn't.
I don't know about his play. We don't watch practice, so I don't really know exactly what he's doing. But
he was lucky he didn't pick up an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty on his first play, though, because he was so overzealous that he missed his block. And he turned around, and the first person he saw was this D-back who was like
Eric's size.
Yeah, and he went
threw
up
him a mile.
Just completely leveled him.
About,
almost
about
after the play was
It's
whistle.
Funny because on TV you see him, and then all of a sudden the guy just disappears because Cannon throws him out of the screen.
Yeah.
Secondary rotation.
That
would have
been funny if that's what he's done to you in his locker.
He's a big athletic guy, though. Now, he wasn't mad. He just refused to talk.
Just hates you.
And still.
Still.
I thought you guys remedied that.
I just introduced myself to him.
And?
He said he wasn't had anything to do with me, just he didn't want to talk to anybody. She came
said
over,
PFW and
she
and was like,
he didn't want to talk to her either, but he just didn't want everybody to come over, and he didn't want a group around him.
So you squared it away.
Yeah.
But then Paul
never got the interview, though.
And he said no.
But it's squared away that
he said to you? No.
He won't talk.
Secondary rotation. Guys, with the carousel of people rotating in the secondary, are you surprised that we haven't seen Malcolm Williams? I know he's just a rookie, but he's been here for all the meetings and stuff. What do you think is preventing him from getting into the rotation, which seems to have
talent.
An open spot
yeah.
every week?
I'm thinking to myself, talent,
well,
talent.
He's been here on and off for all the meetings because he hasn't been on the roster since training camp. He's been cut, released. He's been mostly not on the roster.
And he's mostly a special
team. And
teamer.
He's mostly
he
a special team practice player.
He wasn't really a defensive back in college.
And any word on what Jeff Tarpinian's illness was?
No.
That put him on IR.
Have not heard that.
No.
A little bit surprising.
Head was the official, right?
Yeah. A little
it was
bit
illness first and then head on the official IRing.
You are correct. A little surprising that we haven't seen any details.
Investigative reports.
Sort of leak out about that. Tells me that maybe it was something a little bit serious.
Especially from Bedard.
Fred is great. Paul is a hothead. Andy is a petulant child. And Eric has the same name as me.
Well, all of those things.
I'll take that. That's fine.
It's better than most emails end for you.
Yeah. All of those things are true.
Yes.
True.
All right. Let's see. What else we got here?
So have you had any contact with the girl from Philly since you got back, Eric?
He's clearly uncomfortable about it. Why you got to bust his chops?
Fred met her.
No, since Philly.
Yeah.
Oh.
Long-distance relationship? Didn't work out
Stop
last
it.
Time.
Stop it.
The Scrabble never turned to sex.
She was from Philly, too.
Well, she went to
Delaware
college.
Yeah, she went to college in Philly. That's
what
it was.
You got a thing for the Philly ladies.
Where'd she go?
The Phillies.
Right.
Do you send her a special word of the day?
No.
Rhymes with rock.
I
warned her, though, that this was going to happen.
He finally got one that was funny. That was funny.
What did you say? I didn't hear
nothing.
I really didn't hear you. I said rhymes with rock.
Oh, God.
Sock.
Puppet.
It's like Andy Hart's sexual word association.
Well, that could be anything, though.
Right.
You know?
Tire.
Bacon. Oh, well, bacon.
Television.
Right.
Lamp.
I love lamp.
Damp.
Cock and take.
So you have. So is this going to, is there anything here?
Who knows?
I mean, we go to Philly once every 8 years.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe throw in a couple preseasons.
Yeah, I wondered that this was going to happen, too. So she's,
and there's,
you know,
there's like an Acela that gets you down there pretty quick, isn't there?
Sure.
Yeah, sure. Don't act like you haven't already checked it out. How long does it take you to get there?
I don't know.
Now, she had a friend. Is that part of the mix? Do you need to provide a wingman?
Why, Andy? You want to be the wingman?
Depends how hot she is.
So if she signed up for the African tour too, would that make it so that they could
African tour.
So that they could run the tour? Would that be enough people?
Because you've had a lot of success on vacations.
Oh, God.
He made it sound like it was a sequel to the African tour,
right,
too.
Right.
Well, actually, we were talking about that at dinner, and Jim Mahoney, one of our photographers,
he's been
going.
And he's been like four or five times already.
Yeah, but he doesn't different probably parts do like of that, a
but
discount
going again,
tour.
Right?
He probably
aren't
just
they going again?
Going in February.
Yeah. That guy gets around.
I don't think you want to maybe put it that way.
No, his wife wouldn't like that.
It's a little bit less offensive for a guy.
He's a world traveler. He really is.
Yeah, he is.
All over the place.
He's a half a step below James Pettigrew as in terms of interesting
money,
hobbies, these globe trotting, befriending us and buying us food.
Yeah. A lot of similarities.
Very similar, exactly.
Both have shady backgrounds, probably.
Well, I don't know about shady. He's a financial guy.
That's shady. I think we've learned in the last 5 years that means shady. If you make a lot of money in finances, it's shady.
Rich from Red Bank, New Jersey. Of interest, and this is all unofficial, the Patriots are currently the number 2 seed in the playoff picture. The Texans are number 1, and they have QB issues and may not stay there for long. So there's a good chance that if the Patriots can win out, that they could end up number 1 like last year. That's the best you can hope for from the regular season. The only hiccup would be if the Ravens lose one or more games and the Steelers win out, then the Steelers jump ahead of us. Oh, and if the Texans manage to win the rest of their games, then we end up number 3. The whole thing makes you glad to take it one game at a time and not worry about the playoffs yet.
True dat.
Really, really good advice.
Yep.
That you should have given at the beginning of Freddie, are you worried about this game?
No.
Not at all?
No.
This seems like a game that you would be worried about.
I wasn't worried about the team that they lost to. What Which one was that?
Giants?
The Giants. I wasn't worried about that game.
Or the Browns.
Yeah.
Last year.
That was last year.
Well, nobody
was
no year.
That was in the past.
I wasn't worried about the Browns. Yeah.
I posed that as a hiccup game.
Oh, you
This
you
is not a hiccup.
Game,
no, I don't. This has no chance of being a hiccup game. 0-0-0.
You feel the same way,
0-0.
You feel the same
with
way?
The Colts?
Yeah, about this game.
Oh, yeah. 72-3 is my prediction.
Look, you know, they've got some good players. They'll have their moments in the game, but
well, it's going to be one of those things. They're going to get a first down, and people are going to be like, "What? Do you believe this?"
You know, they're going to complete a pass to Reggie Wayne for like 40 yards, and everyone's going to be like, "Oh my god!"
And I'll be like,
everyone,
"That happens every week."
By everyone, you're going to be like, "Andy's going to be like, they stink,"
you know. But over, they're going to handle the Colts,
probably,
right?
You see now,
I
want to see if anyone else disagrees with me.
It's going to be a blowout
season. Are you posing that because you
it sounds
worried?
Like you are? It sounds like you're voicing this as a measure of concern on your part.
I have a little bit of a concern that it could be a hiccup game.
Nah, no chance.
By hiccup, you know they win it, but it's close.
That they could lose it.
Oh,
no
really?
Chance.
That's more than a hiccup.
Wow,
that's a belch.
I'm not making fun of you.
Throat.
I'm just stunned
because
I'm really stunned.
That is vomit all over yourself.
Right.
I mean,
that's
you really are Negativino.
Matheson
Freeney. That's lactose intolerant. That's much more than a hiccup.
Right. Garcon.
That's eating Papaginos.
The strength
that's fluids
reflux.
Coming out of every hole in your body.
Eating Papaginos.
The strength of their offense.
Well,
is,
some of that's good.
Is the weakness of this defense, which is this in the secondary. And their strength on offense is their wide receivers. And their strength
on their weakness on offense is their quarterback.
Right. I know, but, you know, if he can throw the ball up in the air, they can still catch it.
I bet he can throw the ball up in the air. You're right.
Well,
better than Tyler Palko did.
Not so sure. I don't know about that.
I'm saying if he can do it better than Tyler Palko did.
He can't. He's never won.
It's the same. Basically, you're facing the
he's
same
never
thing.
Won a game that he's played in.
I know.
You're facing the same
It's like
thing.
Your kicking career.
No, this guy is 0-15.
And then on
and he's played
and
in
then
a game.
On defense, Mathis and Freeney are going to give. I mean, we're going to have a rookie at right tackle.
whether it's Cannon or Solder.
I know, but, you know, I look at Mathis and Freeney, and we've played them with Peyton Manning and Mathis and Freeney, and we've beaten them, and, you know, they've caused problems, but they weren't the game.
They can't cause problems because the Patriots won't be in a situation where they're allowed
to throw the ball.
They're not going to ever have to throw the ball in this game.
So they're neutralized.
They will throw the ball, but they won't ever have to.
They'll always have the Colts on their heels guessing.
And that's one, the one thing that Bill said this week about the Colts' plight that I wholeheartedly agree with is that defense isn't terrible. It didn't just become terrible. It's terrible because the way it was constituted was totally geared to playing with the lead. That's the way they've played for a decade. So they go after players that fill a certain skill set that has been completely disastrous when they're not playing consistently with an offense that supports it.
Right. Jake in Scott Lake, Canada. Please stop talking about Taylor Price. He is what he is, and we're moving on. He's become the Tebow of PFW. For someone who's done absolute zero for this team, why does Andy have a colossal you-know-what for this kid? He sucks, so deal with it. Now let's go back to talking about Ocho.
How do we know he sucks?
Yeah, I'm not on board with that email totally.
Ocho sucks.
I think that they think he has upside, or else he wouldn't be on the
here.
Team.
Right. How long did it take to cut Kevin O'Connell?
A year and change or whatever it was.
Right. I mean, he's past that. He's the same draft pick. He's a skill player, right? Third-round pick for
was
O'Connell?
Was it his second year that they
O'Connell was the third-round pick, yeah.
Third-round pick, but was it his second year?
At the end of the second year. At the end of the second training camp.
Yeah.
Did second he get year. Cut or did they pluck him off of practice?
No, they cut him.
They
cut him at the end of training camp, and they went with Brian Hoyer.
So it's the same value.
Oh, right. Okay.
Brian Hoyer beat out him and who was that kid from Arizona that used to play for the Raiders?
Andrew Walter.
Walter, and there were four other quarterbacks that he beat out.
Todd Mortensen, maybe? One of those guys?
No, it wasn't him, but it was some...
One of those guys.
Can I ask a serious question? Because this Christine Leahy girl from Fox 25 has kind of been in the news because Bill berated her.
Yes.
And by name.
Unfairly so.
Yes. Well, what's unfairly? That he berated her?
The way he picked on her specifically.
Oh, yeah. And I think she actually does a pretty good job. I've watched her a couple times
on
Fox. She's not just a pretty face, but I think she's going to get lumped in with that because she's a pretty face. I mean, she's a blonde, attractive young.
I couldn't tell you.
But somebody just tweeted about her, so I clicked on it, on her link, and her website is ChristineLeahy.com, and you go, and it's like glamour photos. How come all female sports reporters have websites of their name with pictures of them in hot dresses and stuff?
Twitter and Facebook.
But does anybody, do male reporters do that?
Well, you know, and it's funny you bring
Should
that
I
up.
Get one with my glamour shots?
Because
you never saw PaulPerlot.com?
No, but...
Andy with his shirt it's up.
No, in all seriousness, are there any male reporters that do it? Because if you want to be taken seriously, don't have a website where you're showing off your goods.
Well, it's a good point because I was talking to somebody who's in the TV industry. And we were talking about the Red Sox are replacing Heidi Watney.
Right.
You know,
talk about the ego on
They
her.
Had thoughts about, you know, having like American Idol type thing and having really good looking girls. And I'm like, would they do that if they were replacing a guy?
No.
No.
I think
it is a little sexist.
And if they want to be taken seriously, but that's different. That's a network taking advantage of hot women, which is fine. I would do the same thing. I watch Fear Factor, not because of the stupid stunts,
no,
because they put hot chicks on it.
But supposedly these people want to be
But that's my
here.
Point.
Reporters.
This is her choice to have a website that has her name across the top, and yet her as a visual more than
and
a proven...
By the way, what's the URL for that?
and that's where I think they get in trouble.
On fire.
Because they all have it. I don't want to take her into this and sully her name, but I believe our own... Lindsay Petrucci has a LindsayPetrucci.com link.
Christina used to have one.
Christina has one. Ooh. They all want to be known for their assets.
Easy, big fella. Yeah,
more than for their
It's like
product.
Bob Dole watching a Britney Spears
video. It's a good point.
Like,
it's...
if you wanted to be taken seriously, you could have a website where it's like a blog. Your thoughts on all the major sports teams and writings. And I have opinions and columns. And I'm a real sports person. I'm not just a hot blonde in a dress.
Right. No, it's a good point.
That was, I believe, her job title, too. Before
hot
this.
Blonde,
hot
in a dress.
She was
dress?
The no, she was the Celtics like in arena hostess. So
oh, was she?
Yeah, I interned with her in 2007. At
she
Fox.
Used to slingshot t-shirts into the stands.
You did what with
Bruins
her in 2007?
Games and stuff like
we
that.
Interned for Butchie Stearns.
Oh, intern.
And so I was teasing Butch the other day. I was like, in 4 years, she went from your intern to taking your job.
That bit probably didn't go over real big. No wonder he hates you.
He still wants to get a beer though. It's fine.
Wants to get a beat.
No, but
well, she used to like,
I see
she used
where
to, like shoot t-shirts into the crowd at Bruins games like 3 years ago.
Yeah. No, but I'm okay with that when you're an intern. But now she's a professional. She's a sports anchor for a major market, and her website is her being hot. So do you want to be known as a sports anchor in a major market, or are you being hot?
Well, let's face it. That's what they do. I mean, you
Who's
know.
They?
these networks. They
Television
you know,
people.
You know, on Fox, they have the girls, you know, on their anchor, and they you see them in the promos, and they're always, you know, dressed to the hilt and everything. I don't know.
And getting back to the Heidi Watney, she was on Nesson and WEEI this morning, the morning show. And the comment that bothered me, if I dated every person in New England that hit on me, I'd date half the region.
That was unbelievable.
Are you
that
effing
she said
kidding
that.
Me? Get that your was, head out of your ass.
That was unbelievable.
Talk
that
about
she said
being
that.
High. That's an Eric-like statement of pomposity.
Heidi Watney, in trying to defend herself and saying that she doesn't sleep with half the team, which is the rumor, she said, if I dated all the people that had a crush on me, I would be dating half the region.
Are you kidding me?
Really?
Real. Wow.
Get off yourself. You're average. You're run of the mill.
She really is.
I mean, I think
Mall
she's...
test, you would be
and, I think
and
she's
guys,
a pretty girl.
Sports guys, people who watch sports.
Yeah, wait a minute. You don't think guys who watch the network feel that way about her?
No, but the point is, women who are in sports reporters go up notches just because they're in sports. I mean, like...
I agree.
You know?
Like, if
fine.
She was in Hollywood, yeah. she'd right. be, like, Nothing. Just another nobody. Right.
That's well, fine, but you don't think that that statement that she made was accurate, that half the guys who were watching...
Eric...
wouldn't want
yeah,
to
but I
with
think
her?
That would be accurate about half
that.
The women in the world if they were on TV.
Right.
I see women all the time that I think, I'd like to.
I mean, when I was in college.
But I don't get to see them all the time because they're not on TV.
You know, how many times when you're walking around in college, you like, you know, the whole thing. Yeah, I could do it. Yeah, I could,
yep.
I could get her. I could get her.
Yep.
But you don't say it to people. You don't go around. I just can't believe that someone would say that on the radio.
Not surprisingly, Eric's defending her, the prince of pomposity, defending the queen of pomposity.
I'm just asking the question.
And the most embarrassing part of that whole thing was the people calling in. Like, oh my God, I've never seen such a smile. And then, like,
but did she say it? Did she say it of her own? Like, was she led to say that?
No, she
like,
said.
How did it come up?
No, it's all
much,
her.
Pretty much the way Andy described it. That was exactly how it
She went. Did a great job for herself in this region. Because you remember, she came here about, she had been fired in Fresno for telling a principal or somebody to go F himself. And
everybody loved her predecessor, Tina.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody loved her.
She wouldn't have had to date half of New England. She might have arm wrestled him.
I loved her.
She was a bit manly.
She's absolutely loved her.
I didn't say she was a...
But I think that she came across and
what,
everybody
Andy?
Really
a
enjoyed.
What?
So I think Heidi came in with two strikes against her because everybody liked Tina so
but
much.
But I think it's true that, you know, look.
Oh, no, but she had the track
80%
record.
Of the people,
many people
watching
get
these
fired
shows
for
are men.
Dinks.
And so they bring in women who are good looking. And
right.
That's unfortunately a criteria for them. You know?
Including Patriots.com.
You know, if it was a criteria for men. Ted Sarandis would never be working, and I wouldn't.
I was going to say, let's look in this room.
Yeah, I mean,
three of you wouldn't be here.
It's a.
I apologize.
Yeah. It's not fair. You know,
after he,
I'll get on my hands and knees.
After he berates Heidi Watney for what she says.
But I'm kidding.
Oh sure.
I'm a human.
Especially
being
not my current state.
Well, speaking
I'm
of,
one donut away from being Paul.
Not to mention the whole thing that why she was actually on the air in the first place was. To
yeah,
me,
why
so,
was she on the air?
So
the first
totally
place?
Transparent, and another effort from John and Jerry to take care of, you know, Larry and John Henry.
Well,
you know, have her on. Let's make sure that we get it across that she just doesn't sleep with the player. I mean, come on.
But the whole idea
what
of a sideline reporter
nonsense.
In baseball is nonsense anyway. It's
God, yeah.
ridiculous. I cringed
men
every
and
time
women.
They went to her.
Because some of the national games have men there that I find completely
just,
useless.
There's no need for it. It's baseball.
I don't understand. But what are you? What's the difference? I don't understand why you
for
make it.
For Tebow's sake.
And this isn't an argument about baseball, but I don't understand why you make a determination of different sports.
Because
I have never, ever, one time, I can't think of one vital moment of a sideline reporter in any sport.
No.
Scott Zolak on line one.
They've had good ones where Armin Katayan has broken news.
There's a number
you know,
of
there's
good
not
ones.
Guys limping off the field in baseball where you need to have updates from the sideline. You know, it's not like
you're
that.
You're missing my point. It's not about how good the reports are. I don't need that guy to tell me. The guy in the booth can tell me the same thing.
That's true.
It's a useless, utterly useless position.
But, you know, if they do observe something from the sideline, it's good to have them down there.
Yeah, and let me know the next time someone does.
Well, sometimes they
and
do.
I'm being dead serious with that.
No,
I'm not trying to be argumentative.
I know.
Let me know someone that actually gives me. Tony Siragusa stands in the end zone, for God's sake.
He's terrible. He's terrible.
So he can't get anything off
no,
the sideline.
He's terrible. But there have been times, you know, when Katayan used to do it.
Katayan.
You know, is that his name?
Not how you say
Armin
it.
Katayan.
Armin
but
Katayan.
I'm not talking about the validity of any individual. I'm saying I don't care how good that report is. Usually it's something that they feed specifically for that guy to say to substantiate his existence.
Right.
The guys in the booth can say the same thing.
Right. Well, they could have.
They're not digging for information on the sideline and getting it and breathlessly reporting it. That's not what happens.
Let's go to the phone lines. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Jeff from Bristol is on the line. Now, is that Bristol, Connecticut or Bristol, Rhode Island?
Connecticut.
Connecticut, okay. What's
that's
up?
That's right. How's it going?
Right. Good, good.
That's
good.
Right. That's how we right. roll. ESPN, baby.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, when I originally called in, you guys were talking about the Taylor Price stuff, and you know, I was thinking about it, and originally I was, you know, I was kind of on the wagon of, you know, I want to see him get some, you know, get some game time. But you know, the more time went on, I can only think that you know, they're seeing something in practice, obviously, which, you know, doesn't translate to him earning any time on the field and in the game time. So, you know, you just got to kind of leave it up to Belichick. But also I do find it interesting. I remember you guys had mentioned earlier there was an offensive coordinator who was saying, you know, that he wished he saw him get a little bit more game time. But, yeah, in the end, I just can't help but think, you know, clearly they're seeing something during practice. Which,
or not,
you know,
seeing
isn't,
something, right?
Yeah, or not seeing, exactly. That, you know, then that's the reason. So for anyone who keeps complaining about wanting to see him, you know, you just got to kind of trust him. Whatever Belichick is seeing, he doesn't feel too confident in, and you just got to deal with it.
Yeah. But why have him there?
What do you think?
Why have him there?
What do you think they saw in Tyquan Underwood?
Well, don't you still need, you know, even if he's not going to be you know, starting, don't you still need those guys in case someone goes down? You know, maybe he's good enough to still be there, and if someone goes down, then they have him to go to. But other than that, he doesn't have much of a place. But you still need that guy.
But
you know?
I think we've seen enough, you know, albeit preseason, to know that the guy's got athleticism.
And I mean, he's got good hands. When you say preseason, Fred, you're talking practice too. Training camp, practice.
Practice and preseason. He's got good hands. He's got speed. He's got athleticism. Okay. I'd just like to see if he's one of those guys that Bill Belichick identified as, you get him into a game and they're just lights out. They're just much better than they are in practice. We don't know that yet. We haven't seen that part of it yet. I could see if he went out there and did what Ocho Cinco does, then
right. I would also say, what has Tyquan Underwood shown him at practice?
Yeah.
That they signed him off the street and played him.
Well, to me, that's telling me they really do feel they need that third guy, and they're desperate.
What do you make of all the hamstring crap? Do you think that's legitimate, or
it could be? I mean, and that could be part of it. That could legitimately be part of it. You know, this is guy, one of those guys that he needs to fully heal it or else it'll tweak again. You know, there are some guys like that, and maybe that's part of it. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's all I really want to say. For now, all I can think, I'm thinking whatever they're seeing, they just don't have that confidence, or, you know, I guess they just keep giving Ocho the chance because I guess, and you guys will have more intel on this than me, that he just keeps performing really well in practice. So I guess they're just hoping for him to turn that corner. And they keep kind of biting in, but I don't know. I'm just guessing that they're just not seeing it in practice, and, you know, and that's that kind of thing.
Well, it's definitely something we don't see that they do. All right, thanks for the call, Jeff.
And that's the only logical explanation, is something they are seeing or not seeing in practice is making them uncomfortable putting him in the game field.
Nick in Northwestern Vermont writes in. Now, let me tell you something. One of my favorite places in the world is Manchester, Vermont. Have you ever been there?
No.
I consider that northwestern Vermont. It's definitely western.
I actually have never been to Vermont.
Oh, Manchester. You would love Manchester, Vermont. That's where the Orvis headquarters is.
Oh, is it?
Is.
Oh, really?
Oh, God, the big penis.
Anyway, always comes back to
did
that
you
with
go
Andy.
There? You go there just because of that?
No.
Why'd you go there then?
What kind of that?
Did you go fly fishing?
Oh, yeah. I've been fly fishing up there, yeah.
Did you go there because of that?
The
no.
Bat and
well,
Kill,
kind of.
The Bat and Kill River runs through there, which is a famous, it's a little overfished now, but one time it was the famous trout fishing up in that area.
Did you catch anything?
I did. Actually, I had a double rig, and I caught two fish at one time.
Double rig? You caught two fish at once?
On two separate
on a fly hooks. Fish?
On
fly
a fly fishing? Line, yep.
And you reeled them both in?
Yeah. Well, they were small. Little brookies.
Is it hard to reel them in? That has no gears, right? That's just like a 1-to-1 ratio.
Right. It's a much more fair to the fish.
Gives the fish a fighting chance.
Right. It does. Anyway, gentlemen and Andy, I love to hear you guys work yourselves into a tizzy about Tim Tebow, and it gave me an idea for a made-for-TV movie featuring PFW and the Anointed One. Here's the plot. John in L.A., you listening? Sometime in the near future, is taking a year off from football to build a charity hospital in Lowell, Mass., and he happens to run into Fred at a charity event. Tim mentions to Fred that he's always wanted to be a sports writer, so Fred hires him as a part-time writer for PFW, working side-by-side with Paul and Andy. As the weeks go by, Paul and Andy realize that Tim is a horrible sports writer, but being good employees, they work three times as hard to cover up for Tim's lack of writing ability. Coincidentally, PFW's circulation begins to increase substantially, and sports writers from around the nation praise PFW for the high quality of the paper and credit Tim Tebow as the reason PFW was so good. With the exception of Paul and Andy, all the staff of PFW love Tebow and credit him for the increase in circulation. Paul and Andy quietly fume as Tim gets all the credit week after week, until they reach the breaking point and scheme to frame Tebow by luring him into a naked butt-bumping game at the local YMCA. However, before they enact their scheme, they head off to join Tim and Fred at the PFW annual family picnic, where they must put on a good face to everyone. During the picnic, Andy is stuck in the can trying to expel a hot dog orange fire water from his bowels, and Paul is in a fight with a young Packers fan who was taunting him at the 96 Super Bowl. Andy and Paul's kids happen to wander into the street just as a drunk Jets fan is racing down the road in his Camaro. It looks like the kids will be flattened, but Tebow somehow leaps and dodges around several cars and pulls the kids to safety just as Andy is emerging from the bathroom and Paul has finished smacking the Green Bay Packers fan. The movie ends with Paul calling off the scheme to frame Tebow and Andy giving Tim a big hug saying, "Tebow, you're all right."
I'd end it a little differently.
What?
I'd Tebow still dies? Have him killed, and then I'd regret it a little afterwards.
All right. Well, that's a movie plot.
It was a pretty good movie plot.
I liked it up to the point where Tebow's getting the credit for the circulation going up. But then I think it went downhill a little bit.
It wasn't realistic? Kind of like
no, but I
right
think,
now?
I think more should have happened after that. You know, different
I love
things.
How we're analyzing it seriously.
What wasn't realistic? That our
like where the screenwriting teacher.
Our subscriptions would go up?
Hey.
You weren't
pretty
clear
sure
there.
If we replaced you with Tebow, our subscriptions would go up.
Wow. I think replacing any of you with Tebow, our subscriptions would go
you
up.
You included. I think he could probably write Go Patriots in the edit letter 17 times a year.
Wow.
It's probably go still write Go Broncos.
Go Tebow.
Or the occasional, we didn't run the score up, and no one actually said you ran the score up.
Well, Mike Tirico did. Bob writes in.
Because he squelched it.
I did. I squelched it.
I nipped it in the butt.
I did. Guys, first off, I was the emailer that riled up Andy regarding Taylor Price yesterday. While my intention wasn't to fire up Andy
sure
and I have and have him lose his mind, it was quite entertaining, and I have clearly underrated the degree of man crush going on. My reason for writing today is the thumb injury to Dane Fletcher. I can't understand how any injury to the thumb can cause a player to be out for this long. While I can't think of any reason, any situations off the top of my head, I know there have been countless times a player has gone out there with a cast in his hand. The only thing I can think of is a staph infection or something to that effect.
Nah.
Do you guys have any insight into why he's been absent for so long? I heard he is back on the practice field, so that's encouraging. It's too bad because he played decent last year, and Belichick even singled him out as the preseason as a player that has improved the most during the offseason. Thanks, guys, and stay strong, Andy. Maybe this will be the week for your crush.
Surgery.
We've heard that he had surgery, and
it could be one of those delicate things that, like, they had to, you know, replace a ligament or something like
but
that.
But even once you have surgery, there's got to be some recovery period. I mean, you have a scar. That even if it's cast,
you'd have to get used to, you know, range of motion again.
But even I'm just saying, like, you know, if you have a cut from thumb to wrist,
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure you can go out immediately and it's stitched up and put even though it's cast.
Right.
I don't know that you can tear it open again, and then you could get infections.
Right.
I think there has to be some time for healing there.
Yeah, and he did play with that injury
right,
for a while.
Played with a cast.
So maybe he did something while he was playing right. that aggravated it, forced it. Who knows? Well, but he also, I should note, Fred, he did politely decline to talk to us today when we approached him in the locker room and said, you know, basically, once I start playing regularly again, I'll talk to you guys. So when we do get to talk to him, we'll So try to find out.
Is that one play is regular? Because the last time we saw him play, it was one play on the goal line. And that's all he played.
Boy, he's just...
All right. Let's take a break here, Kevin. When we come back, it's Thursday, so we got to go around the NFL. We'll do that right after this.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats, including legroom galore, to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know Autotrader.com even had new cars. See, Autotrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. Autotrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help. I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats. With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hotter iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new Bakery Fresh Chicken and Tuna Salad Sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature-y, right? Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Dear business traveler, high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
You live near the school, they still have school.
Can you just continue story time when we come back?
Right. I think you should just continue the story.
Just put the mic on and wherever he is in the story, tell it.
No, we were just talking about kids being left play. That's like the worst fear.
It is a big fear of a parent.
To think that your kid is being left somewhere.
And you quote, had it happen to you all the time.
I had it, yeah, it did.
I think it says something about you.
So anyway. All right, well, it's around the NFL time. It's Thursday. And, Paul, you said I had a real bad week.
Yeah, it's not only Thursday, Freddie.
Yeah.
It's December.
Yeah, okay.
Because Fred's dying. And, you know, not coincidentally, I'm on the rise. I won the week last week at 12-4. Andy and Eric were 11-5, right behind.
Wilson Hart Power Index rolling.
Fred was 8-8.
Wow, what happened?
With the spread, I was 9-7. Andy and Eric were 7-9.
Ah!
And Fred was 4-12.
Wow.
Oh.
Taking it up the rear.
So, overall standings are as follows.
I have one bad week. Right. And taking it up the rear.
And you notice where he takes it right away.
Right,
exactly.
Jerry Sandusky to my left over here.
Oh. Actually, that's it.
So, here is the overall standings. I am now in the lead in the overall picks.
Oh. Big move by Paul.
117-59. Fred and Eric, 115-61. Andy is 110-66, and congratulations for Andy for getting over 100.
I would like you to tell me my winning percentage since I turned things over to the Wilson Hart Power Index, because I think I'm on the move in the right direction.
Okay. With the spread, Eric has a lead at 84-86-6.
Irony, he's good with the spread.
Wow, not even
Fred, 83-87-6. Paul, 82-88-6, and Andy, 80-90-6.
Okay.
So, not a big gap between all four of us with the spread.
Big movement.
And the numbers are all bad.
Yeah.
Well, we're not impressive.
All right.
Yeah, could you get me, what's his name? The Muppet? Can you get him?
Is that Waldorf?
Is that Fozzie Bear?
Yeah,
is
Fozzie Bear. Can you get me some sound bites? They're back, you know, so they're relevant again, the movie and everything. I want some sound bites of him.
Ah, waka, waka,
waka. Waka, waka, waka. Okay.
You don't like the Muppets? Isn't that your, like, generation?
Plus, you love Felger and Maz. They play that all the time.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
You kind of look like one of the old coots sitting up on the balcony.
Statler and Waldorf.
Yeah.
Okay.
Paul and Fred up on the balcony.
The best one for that.
But he actually looks like him.
Pat Burns, when he was coaching the Bruins, used to call Harry Sinden and Mike O'Connell Waldorf and Statler.
All right. Let's start with tonight. Because there's a game.
That's a good place to start.
8:20, and, you know, I'll be riveted. Philadelphia at Seattle.
Eagles by 3.
Oh, boy. Unfortunately, I got to take the Seattle Seahawks here. They are slightly ahead of the Eagles in the Wilson Hart Power Index, and I always take the home team when there is a close proximity in the two teams' rankings.
It's a tough game.
Yeah, it is.
Not a good one.
Because the Eagles definitely are more talented.
But something tells me they might have given up on after last week.
When they were chanting, fire in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was that something the last 3.5 quarters? Because they certainly quit in that game.
Yeah. But I think there was hope going into that game last week, so I think hope might have died. So I'll take the Seahawks.
It's a tough one.
I don't really want to do it, but...
You know, maybe they rally a little bit because they like Andy Reid. I don't know.
Half of them don't even know Andy Reid. The first year playing for him.
Yeah, I'll take Seattle here. I think Philly's done, and Vince Young not convinced.
I see what you did there.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm going to take...
You didn't, did you?
I'll take Seattle. No,
I'm going to take Seattle, too. I mean, after the game, we're standing by the bus, and some of the Eagles guys come by, and Asante Samuel comes walking by, and he sees Matt Light. He's like, Matt Light! Like, it's like he never even played in a game.
Were you pissed at him?
No,
because he lost. Yeah. It's okay if you lose.
You lose into it.
Just wanted to get,
I wouldn't want to get out of Dodge. I wouldn't want to be seen.
It's a business.
I'd be like,
Fred, I know exactly what you're talking about, and it was eye-opening for me, but it's probably the one biggest surprise that I got when I started covering a pro team was how quickly
they get over losses.
They turn the page to not caring.
Yeah.
And they're still getting paid.
And that's across the board in every game that I've seen. It's amazing to me watching them walk off the field, smiling, shaking hands, and I'm not killing them for it, but it was really an eye opener for me to see that happen.
So I got to go with Seattle too, just because they're at home.
Is Tavarius Jackson play? He's their quarterback still, right?
I assume.
Pete Carroll's got him fired up for the stretch.
I'm just imagining this game of those two guys throwing for the two teams. The ball's going
to
be all.
There are no games on Friday or Saturday, so we'll go to Sunday at 1. Tennessee at Buffalo, another game tough to pick.
Buffalo by 1.5.
I am going to take the Tennessee Titans, the number 12 ranked team in the Wilson-Hart Power Index. The Bills, only 17th in the ratings. Since Fred Kirsch, Ryan Fitzpatrick has been playing poorly.
I think Fitzy.
I wish I went to
Harvard. I think Fitzy turns it around in this game, and I think the Bills get a much needed win at home. It's tough because the Titans aren't half bad.
No, they're not.
But I think they've been playing a little over their heads, so I'm gonna say the Bills turn it around and win at home, Paul.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Eric. I'm gonna say that the Bills find a way to get this win, but yeah, Tennessee's probably a better team, but at Buffalo. December, tough time to win there. I think maybe Buffalo finds a way to scrap one out, even though the whole team's on IR.
Yeah, I have no idea. I'm going to go with Tennessee just for the hell of it.
I have no idea he leads his pick.
Sunday at 1.
Can't believe I'm losing to this guy.
Kansas City at Chicago.
Kansas City at Chicago. Bears by 3.
When the 28th team travels to the 8th team,
no.
I have to take the 8th team, even when the 8th team is a backup quarterback. But luckily, so does the 28th team. So I'll take the 8th team.
I'm sorry. Who's the 8th team? I don't want to make a blanket assumption
Chicago.
With your rankings.
Ah, good call.
Waka, waka.
Good call.
Oh, waka, waka yourself.
Whoa, wait a minute. You can't say that.
I'm quite sure
you can't say that. Kevin.
I said waka, waka.
Kevin's not even paying attention.
I call him the Wilson throw a dart index.
I love how he's up at my cube. Like, don't worry about it. I love it. It's great. I'm very happy with it. And then he gets on the radio.
He's like me on PFW in Progress. He just, whatever way it needs to get an ally.
That's right. I'm like Mitt Romney.
I don't like this game at all. I'm going to go with the Bears because I think they have more talent than the Chiefs. That's the only reason.
I agree. I think the Bears actually blow them out here. I think Haney had some trouble early in the game. I think he settled down a little bit. And Oakland's not terrible.
When he ran the fake spike.
Yeah, he
in the game.
He didn't play. I don't want to make it. He didn't play well.
You're gonna be all right over there?
My point is, I think he's a better player than he looked in that game.
I was just laughing at the settling
Oakland,
down.
And Oakland's a tough place to play first time. Tough place to make your first out. I think they blow the Chiefs out.
Blow them out.
Yeah, I'll go with Chicago as well. Atlanta at Houston. Atlanta at Houston.
Atlanta by 3 on the road.
This is a tough game, too. Yeah.
Well, I have to take the number one overall team in the Wilson-Hart Power Index.
Or else you'd be a fraud.
Despite the fact that they don't have a quarterback. Okay. Although I actually think the Jake Delhomme signing is far better than the Brody Croyle that we
heard.
Oh, God,
yeah. I couldn't believe
they were
considering
Brody Croyle. At least
he was good
at some point in time.
Out of all the guys,
Brody Croyle hasn't been good since high school.
Out of all the guys they've considered, he's the best.
You just hope you get to the postseason and he can put two games together where for some reason he's 5 years ago or whenever that was.
You
that
can
he was
at
still
least
good.
Fall back on that he brought a team to a Super Bowl.
Now, more than likely, he's going to throw five interceptions and they lose. But
yeah, oh, this is a tough game.
He's not going to play.
No, not this week.
No, maybe not.
You're okay, Paul. Yates will play.
Well, you never know. Yates could get hurt on the first play of the game.
I mean, for a guy who hasn't been in the league all year, to throw him in there and play. I mean, like even Carson Palmer.
Where's he been?
Probably in the bayou.
At Del Home.
Waka waka.
Oh, my God.
Oh, go.
I'm going to go with the Falcons on the road because the Texans are just snake bit this year, and I don't know if they can overcome as – you know, all of these.
You can hand it off to Arian Foster 30 times and run right over that weak-ass Falcons
defense. This is
a big test
for the Wilson
this is a big
throw
test.
A dart index.
Yep.
I hate
big
you.
Test for the Texans, but I'm going to go with the Falcons, Paul.
I don't normally, well, I got to take Atlanta. I just can't take a team with their third quarterback. Although I did with Chicago, I guess that's their backup too. That's only the second quarter.
Right? Yeah.
So your rule is okay.
My out. I got the out. I found my loophole. I don't know. I think Houston's a far better team than Atlanta,
but I
don't know what's going to happen with TJ Yates.
Yeah, I got to go with Atlanta as well.
And Vikings to release Donovan McNabb. Breaking news.
This is the week that Houston falls off the top of the rankings.
Houston, we have a stiff.
Yeah.
Oakland at Miami.
Well, they just
Miami.
Signed a stiff, so.
Oh, but they might need another one.
Oakland at Miami.
Dolphins by three.
This one's a loose stiff.
A loose stiff?
Oakland at Miami.
Oakland at Miami.
And what's the number?
Three.
Dolphins. Miami's been moving
Dolphins
up the power
by three?
Rankings.
Dolphins by three.
But I'm going to have to take Oakland. The number 14 ranked team beats the number 19 ranked team that's been fighting the good fight.
I'm going to take Oakland, too. They are the better team, and even though Miami has put up a little bit of a fight, I think Palmer's shown he can do it on short notice here, so I'm going to go with the Raiders.
Biggest game of the year for the Raiders. They have to find a way to win this game, and traditionally, this is a game that they lose. But I'm going to take the Raiders.
I'm going to take Miami at home to win this game. You know, I think they've been playing better. And,
they have been.
You know. Sunday at Miami, you know.
He started and ended that sentence with, you know.
Tim Tebow goes to Minnesota to take on the Vikings.
By himself?
Yes.
Vikings by one.
Yes. Luckily for Tim Tebow, he's traveling to take on one of the worst teams in football, one of the three teams that's been eliminated from the postseason, the number 30 ranked team in the Wilson Hart Power Index. So I will take the Tim Tebows. See the unique nature of this game, Fred?
What's that?
It's a visiting AFC team at an NFC team. So normally it would be on CBS, but it's actually going to be on Fox because of the Sunday night change. Fox only had two games, and CBS had like seven.
All day?
It's a little weird. Yeah, it's a little weird, unique.
An anomaly.
Wonder who the crew will be. They'll have to learn the AFC.
Miracles happen, especially when Tebow's playing.
Are you ready, comedy partner? Waka waka.
Yeah!
I'm going to take the Denver Tebows as well. Because
what are you laughing at, fat man?
That drop just overshadowed one of the dumbest things that Indy Hart's ever said.
I told you to be quiet.
What did he say? What did
Fred's
he say?
So nothing. Dumb he didn't get it.
I wasn't listening. I'm looking at the next game.
You can get your expert analysis ready, you know?
I'm with Eric. I'm taking the Tebows.
Of course I'm taking the Tebows. All right.
Although you're not quite a big John Elway fan anymore.
Sunday at 1.
No, he's broken my heart.
Cincinnati at Pittsburgh.
Cincinnati at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh by 6.5.
Oh, this is an interesting 9-10 matchup, Paul. These are always interesting 9-10 matchups in the Wilson Hart Power Index. I'll go with the home team, Pittsburgh Steelers. Bengals have been playing tough against these tough teams in the division, but they can't get it done.
6.5.
I will take Pittsburgh to cover, yes.
I will take Pittsburgh to win, Paul, but I will take the Bengals with the number. I think it's going to be a seesaw battle, and just the fact that they're home gives them gives the Steelers the edge.
I will do the same thing that Eric is doing. I will take the 6.5 late cover for the Red Rifle.
Oh, I like what you did there.
I didn't make that up.
Oh, it's all right.
It's not like the Red Rider that Fred got for his Christmas gift a couple of years ago.
I'll go with Pittsburgh in this game. They've really surprised me this year. I thought they'd have an off year. They certainly haven't. Let's go to Carol.
6.5.
They'll cover.
Yep.
Carolina at Tampa Bay. Carolina at Tampa Bay.
Tampa by 3.5.
Oh, I will take Carolina to beat Tampa in this battle of 26 and 29. I'll take Cam Newton over Freeman.
I'll take Cam Newton over Freeman, too. I like the way he's played more consistently this year than Freeman has. And I think the Panthers have rallied around Newton, and I don't think the Bucs have done that around Freeman.
I'll take Tampa. I'll just take the home team. Two sucky teams, I'll take the home team. And when the 26 and 29 teams get together, you throw away the records.
That's right. Fred, you have something on Patriots Football Weekly TV tonight regarding the Bucs, correct?
Yes.
Around the NFL. Hear Fred with a nice play on words, a nice enunciation of what could have been a tongue-twisting sentence.
And Andy and I are here to tell everybody that Fred did it in one take.
One take. First time all year.
Never had one lesson.
First time all year he did it in one take.
Would you believe? One take.
And Paul also did it in one take with Rob Ninkovich on the PFW one-on-one interview, correct?
Oh, did you?
Right?
Why would you need more than one take for an interview?
I don't know. You took forever, it seemed like.
He's unbelievable. I'll take Tampa Bay as well. They're the home team.
Were you admiring his beard and saying, if I could only get some of that hair on my head, I'd look good? Because he's got quite a thick beard there.
I really don't look at other men that closely to wonder about. Along those lines,
I'm going to throw it out there. Mike Rivera has my kind of build. Practice squad linebacker. I like his look.
Yeah, Hart's Rivera.
Yeah, I know.
The Jets.
And yet I've never bumped butts nakedly with somebody. But you want to.
The Jets at Washington.
What's the matter with you in there? Nothing?
Waka, waka, waka!
Jets at Washington. Jets by 3.
I will take the Jets to beat the Redskins because they're the better football team. Have you noticed that he's still talking trash up there?
Who is?
Rex Ryan.
I haven't noticed much.
The comments are still about, you know, if we can get in, we're going to be dangerous and stuff.
The playoffs?
Well, you already declared.
Why don't you just worry about this week?
He only declared the division over. Right. He didn't declare the playoffs over.
But just worry about one game and winning it.
I'll take the Ryans as well.
Yeah, I'll take them. I don't feel great about them.
Washington's a terrible team.
They're just not playing very well. I don't know what it is, but Washington, I don't know why. I could see Washington winning this game, but I'm going to take the Jets.
Not only can I see them, they will win this game. They're going to just shut down Mark Sanchez.
And say hello, hello. Yeah,
I think that could happen.
Let's go to 405, shall we? Baltimore at Cleveland. Baltimore
by 6.5.
6.5.
I'm going to take the Baltimore Ravens, number 5 team in the Wilson Hart Power Index. Their consistency is always a concern, but Cleveland, they'll beat them.
Yeah, I am concerned about Baltimore playing to their competition, and Cleveland is not great competition, but playoffs are coming. It's December. John Harbaugh is going to get this team squared away. I'll take the Ravens to win handily.
Yeah, at some point they have to put this nonsense away with the losing to sub-500
exactly.
teams. All three of their losses to bad teams, sub-500 teams, they got to put an end to that.
Yeah, I guess Ray Lewis probably isn't going to play again. But I'm going to take Ravens.
You're taking Ravens?
Yeah. 4:15, Dallas at Arizona.
Articles are optional.
We already talked about it.
Which one?
Do you listen through the headset in there? Why do you have it on your head?
Dallas at Arizona?
Yeah.
Dallas by 4.5.
4.5.
Dallas. The number 7 team I will take to beat Arizona because they stink.
How about them?
I like them to win again. Just don't have any faith in the Cardinals. And I think the Cowboys have been playing a little bit better of late.
Yeah, I agree in terms of wins and losses, but I'm going with Dallas, but it's the most unimpressive resurgence that I've seen. I mean, every game against bad teams could go either way.
Yeah. I'll have to go with Dallas, too, but not crazy about it. 4:15, Green Bay at the Giants.
Green Bay by 7.
This is a good matchup.
Yeah.
Is it?
Why not?
I think this is one of their last chances to lose, so I think it's a good matchup. And I think they'll fight. I mean, their backs are against the wall in New York. I think they're going to be.
Tiki Barber really just killed his ex-team. Do you hear what he had to say?
No. You never hear him saying.
Yeah, he's
like
credible.
That.
He's not a guy with an axe to grind.
There's nobody less relevant than Tiki Barber.
He use big words. He said, instead of a dynastical run, now they're happy to win more than they lose every week. Every season.
He's a dink. They never had a chance at a dynastical run.
No.
But
they were the sixth seed that slipped into the playoffs and got hot.
I will take the Green Bay Packers to win this, although I do think it's losable.
You laying the 7?
We got to hurry because I got a meeting I'm supposed to be at.
All right, I'll take the Packers.
Well, we're over, huh?
Win and cover. It's hard to pick against them.
Yeah, I'll take the Giants. I mean, the Packers, too. I think that they have too much offense for the Giants to keep up with.
Jimmy Starks.
And I think this is the last chance.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Packers as well. Seattle at San Francisco.
San Francisco, thank you.
It's not Seattle.
Oh, no.
St. Louis at San Francisco. The Niners.
The same message. Same. San Francisco. Right. San Francisco.
Niners by 13.
Yeah, sure. My boy will get flustered. I'll lay him.
Yeah. Niners both ways.
Yeah, I'll lay the points, too. That dominant defense will get the job done.
Although Quinny, you never know when Quinny is going to get to Aaron Smith.
It's your turn. It's your turn.
San Francisco, and not to cover. Detroit at New Orleans, Sunday night.
New Orleans by 9.
Detroit at New Orleans. I will have to take the Lions. They're the number 6 team, although the Saints are 11.
I'll take the Saints to win, Lions to cover.
I will take the Saints both ways.
Me too. Monday night, San Diego at Jacksonville.
Ooh. Check this. Chargers by 2.5.
Man, I have to take the Jaguars because they are about 5 spots higher than the San Diego Chargers. What an abysmal season for North Turner's crew.
Yeah. New head coach or interim basis, at least for Jacksonville. I'm going to go with everybody's favorite fight song.
All right. San Diego.
I thought you were going to say, well, they got their own song now.
I'll take the Chargers.
Let me tell you what
me
I want to do.
I'll take the Chargers as well.
Want to run, going to score, going to catch it, too.
And finally, going back to
go
Sunday
ain't nobody.
One, Indianapolis
go
at New England. Are we all taking New England? Yes. We are taking the Patriots
hold
to
on,
win.
Hold on. By cover. By 20.
By 20.
And cover. Win and cover as they continue to move up from the 4 spot in the Wilson Hart Power.
Now, Eric's not taking
I'll take
to
them
cover.
To win, but not to cover.
Yeah, I will lay the points. 72-3.
I say that they win, but they don't cover, and Bill Belichick does it on purpose just to prove a point. All right, that's going to be it.
Oh, this edit letter is going to be terrible to read.
That's going
to
be it for this edition of Patriots Football. What is it? PFW in progress. Eric is going to stick around with Buster only. Oh, no. Who is it?
Nobody.
Russell Baxter.
Russell Baxter at 2:30.
And
Buster only is a baseball
writer.
Right.
Okay.
And then,
we'll
of
see
course,
you next Tuesday.
DeBilo and Pete Shepard at 4 o'clock. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Ah, are you ready, comedy partner? Waka waka.
Can't stop, addicted to the shindig. Chop top, it says I'm gonna win big. Choose not the life of imitation. Distant cuts into the reservation. Three funk the pistol that you pray for. This punk the feeling that you stay for. In time, I want to be your best friend.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.